Blog Talk Radio.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said because in general I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed, because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex. But all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago I hadn't heard the sumbitch, now all of a sudden he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary, they took the dignity from the dignitaries, they took the secrets from the secretary, but they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the fucking vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary kept us all wondering if all of this was really truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only worked for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war. It is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war. It is a time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves, because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. What you gonna do? We hounded the Ayatollah religiously, bombed Libya and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians. Watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the Amish, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. The military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war.
Two, three, four.
Make a whole lot of money, start a little trouble, it's war. Turn this planet north and south, it's war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
World peace.
Say it to yourself.
I believe we got the world
peace. Peace ain't gonna be free.
I don't
got
the
world peace.
Nobody.
You believe in peace.
I really
don't
go
to work.
Nobody.
They got folks out there working for war.
But it's a matter of fact that there are thousands of children all over the world in Asia and Africa and South America who need our help. When they start talking about 55 cents a day and 70 cents a day, I know a lot of folks feel as though that's not really any kind of contribution to make, but we have to give up a dollar and a half just to get in the subway nowadays. This is a song about tomorrow and about how tomorrow can be better if we all, each one reach one, each one try to teach one.
Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone's got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit say work.
Don't need the road we try. some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Good evening, folks. Tonight we have with us the future mayor of Memphis, Judge Joe Brown. And we're so happy to have him. Judge Joe, you with me?
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you. And how are you?
I'll manage, at least in a mad rush.
Oh, my goodness, Judge. You got people, everybody got their hands up already. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Okay, well, before... well, first, before we let them in, let me ask you a question or two. Now, you just had the recent thing with the, at Tennessee with the gentlemen that were kicked out of the hall, but they were reinstated back in. Now, I seen where on Friday, Kamala Harris did a rally for them. How do you feel about that?
She can't even handle D.C. She needs to go stay there and stay out of Tennessee. And as far as these two are, well, they've been giving the power fist, but it's interesting that they're trying to ban the guns that those power fists once stood for as something that black people ought to have to defend themselves. They want to defund the police, disarm the public, and damn the people. We live in the murder capital of the United States in Memphis. There are 652 families who have lost loved ones in the last 2 years.
Oh, no.
I've got a refrigerator sitting in the middle of my floor that's a built-in one, but I can't get it back in because my guy who works on these things, his 34-year-old son got shot to death just a little while ago coming out of a convenience store. And the problem is that the guns that people are worried about come in with the shipments of drugs that the war on drugs can't stop. So the police, under constitutional law and many decisions by the Supreme Court, have no duty to protect you unless you happen to be in their custody or they are in a place where they stumble on a crime in progress. So who's supposed to protect you? Certainly not the crooks. They don't respect that. And I noticed
no.
In Memphis that places where the citizens are most heavily armed legally, that's where they have the least crime. So this is part of this Democratic Party nonsense of defund the police, disarm the public, and the hell with everybody. I also noticed that the young man who did get reinstated to the legislature got heavy contributions by Act Blue, which is under investigation now for laundering money. It seems they've been victimized. What, you haven't heard about that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
They have allegedly been using senior citizens' identities without their knowledge and they are getting or supposedly receiving cash contributions from these citizens, and they're working out like $15 and then 30 minutes later, $25 from the same person. So over the weeks, this same person is supposed to be contributing several thousand in cash donations, which are just basically money laundering scams because the people say they don't know anything about it, haven't heard about it. So they distribute money, according to the BLM website, three ways if you say contribute to BLM. One-third goes to BLM, I guess, so the founders can buy valuable properties out on the West Coast and pay for their relatives to get six-figure income. It goes to what they designate as their close affiliate, LGBTQIA+, and to ACT Blue, which they designate as a fundraiser for the Democratic Party. Now, we got on BLM very hard last year, and they took down their they changed their website. It used to have what we believe. They took that down because the very first thing that they had on there that we highlighted was, quote, "We are for the destruction of the traditional nuclear family," unquote. And they also had quotes out of NAMBLA, which is North American Man, Boy, and Love Association, promoting pedophilia on that site. They also note that they set up communications, transportation, and make arrangements for protests and demonstrations. And they're suspected of having provided the bricks, concrete blocks, and other materials that were used to torch and or destroy properties and buildings and structures owned by, interestingly enough, mostly black businessmen in inner city situations, supposedly as protests. So they're under investigation for money laundering, yet that group financed one of these individuals. It is an opportunity which is driven by this. Now, first off, I used to be a Democrat, but I can't stand and abide by anybody that's trying to undercut masculinity in the family. But Tennessee is essentially a red state. So they're trying to keep Memphis blue, but Memphis is getting nothing out of it but absolute corruption and dishonesty from top to bottom with very few exceptions. And they want to control what's going on, particularly with right outside of Memphis, this development where Ford Motor Company and Cadillac are going to be putting in electric car manufacturers that might turn Memphis into the Detroit of the 21st century if somebody works for the interest of the people, but they don't. So they want to keep that little enclave of corruption going here in Tennessee, contrast to the rest of the state. And where the immediate thing comes in is Tennessee is a constitutional carry state, so if you are legal to buy, you're legal to carry. It hasn't really caused any problems because, with one or two exceptions which they highlight, the people that cause the problems are not entitled to legally possess firearms anyway because they've got problems. But they are trying to hype it, and they don't talk about many instances around and about this part of the state where legally armed people have stopped some disasters from occurring. But that's another story. We won't go there. But they're trying to get Memphis accepted from the statewide rule so Memphians would not be able to carry concealed weapons legally. That just does not match my experience as a prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, head of the public defender's office at one time, tried many, many criminal cases and representing some of the most hideously vile people you ever want to think about and being a criminal court judge, that just doesn't match reality. You do not do yourself a service by being disarmed and helpless. Anyway, I'll pass the mic.
Well, I thank you for that, and I agree with you. Before I go any further, I'm going to bring in the first caller. We have a long list of callers, but 916. Area code 916. If you have yourself muted, please take yourself off. Okay, well, you had your hand up. Maybe it was a mistake. I'll put you back on mute. Area code 804.
Hey, area code 804. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm
fine. Thank you.
How
are you?
I'm doing excellent. And how you doing, Judge Joe Brown?
Young Mr. Johnson, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Look, y'all were talking, I was looking up stuff. You know how I like to go behind the scenes. So this guy's in District 52 in Nashville, right? Now, I got some serious questions here about this guy. He's 27 years old. He's from Oakland, California. He went to Fisk University and Vanderbilt University. But my thing is with him, if he was so worried about it, there were 98 or so murders in Memphis, Tennessee already this year. He ain't worried about this one school. I'm like, well, wait a minute now. Brother, you ain't talking about all them black folks getting killed. Why you ain't talking about that? He's sitting there talking about these white folks who got killed at school. I'm like, what's up with this guy? And then you bring Kamala Harris in there, and they call in the Tennessee Three, and she lauding them for their bravery, and they talking about it like king. Then this week, you know, Al Sharpton could talk about it. Al Sharpton, just here in Richmond, Virginia, 2 weeks ago, eulogizing a boy out of a mental hospital he knew nothing about. And this week is also Al Sharpton's National Action Network Convention coming up on Wednesday. To top that, now we got this guy who's getting funded by Act Blue, and I sent you information last night, Judge. This morning, Act Blue has got a donation fund for this brother right now. Okay? So that goes to show you they're back in the old tricks again from 2020, which we already talked about a long time ago. They're back in the old tricks again, donating these guys. They got a new group called Black Voters Matter. And he supposedly was elected today in his district, city council, 36-0 unanimous vote to be put back until a special election. With all that going on, we seem to be forgetting that even the President of the United States is invited in the White House, and they were also quoting language of Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, to me, this is nothing more than a power grab, because he's talking about a gun control. He's on the legislative body. There are rules in the legislative body. They broke the rules, plain and simple. They were voted out 72-29. This should not even be an argument that we're even having. So what I'm saying is somebody needs to really get this straight. And Kamala Harris is not – this is a state issue in the legislative body of Tennessee, which she – has no control over. Tennessee is a red state. So really, they need to cut the man.
Well, she's trying to get in here because they desperately don't want me to become the mayor, because they've got a crooked, under-the-table payout thing that is literally stealing a lot of money from the citizenry and keeping the place from being what it ought to be. It's unsafe. It's not prosperous, but it could be. And you can't expect the thugs in the street to obey the law if the people that are supposed to be in charge don't obey it. There's zero leadership. They're just administrative functionaries who have gotten good at semi-hiding their tracks when they steal. So it is what it is. Now, the point that I find particularly hypocritical is this same bunch has been lambasting Trump for supposedly saying something that inspired 180 people about to commit criminal trespass and public disturbance in Congress January 6th. But yet they physically lead several thousand young high school students who for the most part were going to private schools into the legislative chamber to trash the place. Now, if you're talking about one person should be sent to jail for saying stuff that in my reading of the law, as I read it, you know, I may be an amateur in this process. I've only done it for half a century professionally. You have a right to assemble and petition for redress of grievance, and you've got free speech, and there's many a Supreme Court case that says even if you are vigorous in your advocacy, you are not to be charged with a crime if somebody independently does something that is against the law, unless you specifically ask for it, and saying the election is a bogus election. That just fits in with American history, since the third most frequent topic in American history is a seems to be a contention that something was wrong with an election. And another thing, on January 6th, you had pending as the next item of legislation, the 1877 law that's still on the books called fairness or confidence in elections. And what that means is when there's a federal election and the public appears to lose confidence in it, the Congress shall appoint 5 members from the Senate, 5 from the House, and 5 from the U.S. Supreme Court to independently audit and review the outcome, taking a minimum of 10 days or more such time as is reasonably necessary. That was the next item on the agenda, but that got tabled and ignored with the hullabaloo that occurred. So I find it interesting that you say somebody should be locked up for advocacy, and you actually lead a few thousand in to trash the legislative chamber in the capital of the state where you live. That just says, okay, if you're going to try and steal king, and by the way, one of them's been running around trying to act like he's king and imitate him in his speech patterns, tone of voice, and style. And if you're going to do that, then you can follow along and emulate him fully and go to jail like he did so many times and some of the rest of us have done when it's a matter of principle. But, you know, let's not go there. It's sort of, you know, what they do.
I just want to say one thing. All I'm going to say is what I'm saying, they're really selling people for bad good. Like they talking about now today, this shooting that happened in Louisville and stuff like that at a bank by a former employee. But we got to get to the fact of things happen and you cannot be scared all your life. Daggone, they talking about, oh, the school shouldn't have had guns. Yeah, but I can also tell you, Jewish people have armed synagogues, and we got to stop getting off our knees and crying all the time. Daggone, the time for action is now. And I ain't talking about no daggone act blue. I'm talking about the people need to act.
Well, how do you want the people to act? What is it that you want the people to do?
Well, daggone, you can't be saying, basically, I mean, this is how we got caught up in 2009-10 when you got Barack Obama, when he was in office, talking about gun control. But he's actually doing a Fast and the Furious thing with Eric Holder shipping guns across the Mexican border. And those two border agents got killed. So you're telling me to disarm myself so I can be the bait of somebody else who wants to harm me possibly. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Such you fight fire with fire, you know?
Let me say something about Too Fast, Too Furious. Article 6 of the Constitution says, the supreme law of the land shall consist of the Constitution itself, such laws passed as to give effect to the Constitution, and such treaties as have been ratified by the Senate. Now, what Furious was doing is they wanted to try experimental laws or experimental theory with the American law, since it's never been brought up, is if they got a treaty with Mexico that would restrict the citizens' rights to keep and bear arms, would that wash if it was in the in the context of a treaty? So that's what they were trying to set up, and that's some of the most crooked garbage that somebody ought to be doing jail time for. That's just wrong. Now, let me say what this is about. When the Constitution was ratified, police hadn't even been invented. It would be 40, going on 50 years later before this guy Robert Peel set up Scotland Yard in England to develop the first police force. They call them Bobbies now after him, Sir Bobby Peel. Police are set up as an elitist thing run by an English aristocrat. And in the late 1840s or mid-1840s, they spread to Boston and then to New York. So that's when we first had police. Before that, law enforcement was the domain of the sheriff and the appointed posse and the militia. The militia was not a military unit. In English law for centuries, the militia is defined as all able-bodied men in a district from 15 to 60 who have a duty and right to be armed according to the needs. Now, what the Second Amendment is about, and that's why it's number two, is to serve as the ultimate check and balance on a tyranny. You have a balance, a check and balance set up in the U.S. and in the state governments. First off, you have the states versus the federal government. You have the legislative bodies that make the laws outside of the ones that are made by the judges as common law. You have the judges to rule upon the application of the law and the executive branch to enforce the law. And the Second Amendment was so the citizenry could be an ultimate check and balance to a would-be tyranny by being strong enough to resist tyrant attempting to use the government process to oppress the people. What we commonly call criminal rights today are not really criminal rights. They are rights that guarantee the American public freedom from political oppression. It just so happens that in American history, the only time we saw that come into play was, fortunately, when somebody was accused of crime. Now, you look at it in an indictment, and it says the people of whatever the governmental entity is, the United States or the state of Tennessee or whatever, and there are quite a few million people in that unit versus one individual, so you don't want the government getting too used to running roughshod over somebody. Now, that said, I think it is good when somebody is willing to sacrifice himself or herself for a cause when there are consequences, but you just bang somebody on the head and don't deal with the Tennessee Class E felony that allegedly was committed when it comes to disrupting a legislative or public assembly. You don't get into that. You don't get into reckless public endangerment, which is another Class E felony. And so far, nobody has talked about charging them with that. We've had prosecutions, say, in Memphis, because there was a dispute over residency and somebody got charged with a Class C, a more serious by 2 degrees felony, for having a dispute which ultimately got resolved in her favor. But now, when we have this kind of hypocrisy for political expediency, in other words, we want to disarm the public and defund the police because it matches our narrative, rather than saying part of your problem is not guns, part of your problem is the fact that you've been teaching people it's all right to abandon character. And it goes on. If we want to talk about murder weapons, three times as many people are killed in the state of Tennessee with common claw hammers out of somebody's toolkit than they are by guns, but you want to register the hammers? Five times as many are murdered using kitchen knives than guns, but are we to be as foolish as the Lord Mayor of London, who wants it mandatory that all butcher knives and kitchen knives over 2 inches long in blade must be registered and recorded? Do we want to go there when actually it's a matter of character? I have taken martial arts for 50-some years, and so have a lot of my associates, friends, still alive and not alive. And frankly, we kill most people faster without a weapon at all than we could with, say, a .45. And what are you going to do with us? Register us when we walk in the room? You can't disarm us because we don't need armaments. And when you walk into a room, I haven't been in a room in 5 years where when I looked around, I didn't see something that I could use to lethal purpose if I chose to do so somewhere in the room, from lamps to tables to chairs to appliances, you name it, they're there. But you see, it's character. With somebody like me, I'll protect you. But these people who advocate this thing of we're all for the people, they don't trust the people. And what they're going to wind up doing is in the sense or in the spirit of protecting the people, they are getting very close to the same kind of thing that we saw the National Socialist Workers' Party impose over in Europe, 1930-34. The name of the party, National Socialist Workers' Party, translates to the acronym N-A-Z-I, Nazi, in German. And we know where that went. So do we want to go there? Because we are headed that way unless we stop this.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Judge Joe, we got quite a bit of callers.
Let's do it. I'll be brief.
Okay. Let's see. Area code 773.
Hey, 773? Yeah, can you hear
Hello.
Me? How you doing, Antoinette?
Yes, we can hear
hey,
you.
Hey, how you doing, Judge Joe Brown?
Okay.
I'm going to make this real quick. Wow. this is interesting because I literally just relocated here to the Memphis area from Chicago. I've been here a week. I got here maybe past Saturday. And the things that you've been saying so far, very interesting. Real quick, though, the mayor they just elected up in Chicago, Brandon Johnson, a lot of people don't know that he was basically, his campaign was being funded by the Chicago Teachers Union, and they were literally taking people's union dues to pay his campaign. That's illegal. Nobody talked about that. And if you talk to a lot of people in Chicago, as far as him getting elected, some of it had to do with race also. And with Paul Vallas, the guy he was running against, he was pro-police. And so they got what they asked for. They got Lori Lightfoot out of there, but now I believe they probably got something worse. So, but now the people I've talked to since I've been here in Memphis, mixed reviews. People were telling me that as far as the crime here, especially more precisely in dealing with the carjackings and the auto thefts and everything, some people say it's worse than in Chicago. Some people say it's not that worse than Chicago, and some people are saying that it's pretty much the same. But at the same time, the same issues they're having here in Memphis with the young people carjacking and robbing people, it's the same problem in Chicago. The thing in Chicago is with Kim Fox, that the state's attorney, now the police are, you know, they're catching these kids. Yeah, they're arresting them, but they're letting them right back out on the street again. You know, so I guess my question for you is, as far as what the youth are doing, I mean, how can that be stopped in terms of these kids, you know, out here carjacking and robbing people? I mean, what is the solution to that?
Memphis is the murder capital, rape capital, and carjacking capital of America. You got a higher chance of having one of those three things happen to you living in Memphis than anywhere else in the country. However, here's the thing. There is something you can do about it. If you walk down the street with me, you will see people coming up, and over the 2 8-year terms I got elected as a criminal court judge, I made a difference. I reduced the statewide recidivity rate from 80% down to 18%. And people come up, "Judge, you remember me?" "No." "You gave me some time. Did I give you enough?" "Oh, yeah, but it was that thing about man up and think." I never thought about that until you put that fire in me. Now it's been 29 years. I've got grandchildren, you know. All my kids are doing well, and, you know, I got a good job. It was like somebody needed to show me the way. See, we need what we call leaders. We have not had any in a long time. Al Sharpton, with his bobblehead, chicken-eating self, is not a leader. He pimps the people, all right? We don't have anybody who can interface with the people in the community on the streets, because most of them that occupy positions that would dictate that they did that, they're scared to talk to the police, or not the police, to the people. I've got a standing there with everybody running against me except two people. I know they'd take it up, but one of them is just talking about it because he doesn't want us going down a rabbit hole, and the other one just got elected sheriff a few months ago. So the point is, look, I dare you to walk with me without an armed escort where I'll take you so we can get hands-on with the people, exercise leadership, and convince them that there is a better way and that they would prosper greatly and feel better if they took it without you getting yourself jacked up, hijacked, or killed in the process. See, because the people won't consider them leaders. The people say, "Who the hell are you talking about? That dude? Man, I never, you heard it?" "Nah, vaguely, man. I saw it. My grandmama was reading the newspaper. Who, what he done? And he's still good." You know, that's the kind of conversation you get. But if you get to the Boule Negroes, they sit down, you know, where the Peabody is downtown. They sit down there on little couches, sipping wine and nibbling cheese and crackers off of an appetizer plate. "Jamal, what's going on? I hear there's some disturbance down on 3rd Street. Oh, my God, what's going on?" They don't know. And they can't know because they have no connection with ordinary people. You've noticed the potholes and the trash all over the city that used to not be there because so much of the city money is being stolen and putting in there. Back pockets of people, like that pyramid downtown, $85 million pyramid. They gave it away to Bass Pro that has one of the worst equal employment postures in America for $1 a year. And they put up the signs for them. And they run the maintenance, upkeep, and security for them. What do we get? No, they got on the city council, county commission, they got a little under the table, a bit over the table, and they're happy, and the rest of us have potholes and trash that need to be picked up. Memphis High Gas and Water breaks down every few weeks anytime we have a minor shower or minor rain, let alone cold, because they've allowed the infrastructure to decay because they've been stealing the money. They're getting on Wanda Halbert down here, who runs the clerk's office, for not getting license plates out. She discovered that the mayor, Harris, for the county, and the state comptroller have been stealing the money out of the clerk's accounts, trying to blame her while they used it to leverage some acquisitions on their own behalf with Ford Motor Company for what they call Blue Oval City. They're going to put almost 28,000 new employees in there in about 4 years. There are only 5,200 in the area, and they're going to have to build the city of 250,000 people to house them. So why are they getting a chance to steal? There's one somebody down here running for mayor who got with no bid on a private resolution he and another one of his Confederates put together to get a park $2,500 for the park that is valued at about $10 to $12 million tax-wise. So what are they going to do with it? Well, the hospital complex is talking about putting a multi-billion-dollar hotel on that same park that they got for $2,500, and they get paid $100,000 a month rent for the bloody damn thing from now until hereafter. See, that's the kind of crooked mess that we've got in this town, and it needs to stop because it is located at what ought to be and is the distribution center for North America. It's interesting what's in this place. We could have total reliance on electric power with no energy cost because we've got the Mississippi River.
Right.
They don't want that because they get no money out of it. We could take the surplus and sell it all up and down the Mississippi from New Orleans to Louisville to Chicago to Little Rock to Jackson, Mississippi to Atlanta, you name it. And we could start a trend where the whole country could use these rivers for hydroelectric generators. They use them in the kind I'm talking about in Japan and Africa for tidal flows, but you don't even need to build any concrete emplacements. You put these things that look like oversized outboard motors on barges, floats, and you can put thousands of them in a small place, and they aren't set up to run 3 hours in one direction and then 2.5 the other based on the tide flow. They run 24/7. We have no smog inversion layer. We could bring in all sorts of industry, but they don't want to because they don't get the money out of it. You got one clown down here talking about the most important thing is for the city to spend several billion dollars improving and financing major international corporations doing downtown renovations so the skyline looks better. Meanwhile, if you've been down to the baseball stadium down on Union at 3rd Street and looked across and seen what used to be the old Greyhound bus depot, can you imagine downtown anywhere selling 25 acres to a developer for just $600,000 downtown in the middle of town? And they want to give it to this person so they can put in 28 luxury units in a gated area that will have restricted access to some upscale boutiques to add in a flavor to the people who will live there. They're turning the whole downtown area into a gentrified residential place where parking will be severely restricted except to residents and tenants. So what in the devil are we spending what is now coming up to close to $3.5-4 billion? Right out here,
right,
we've got a football stadium that they want to take, and already the city has committed $750 million to it and convert it to a soccer arena, and then take $3 billion to build a brand new football stadium.
Right, you're talking about the Tennessee Titans up in Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah, which will be restricted to a select number of people. Why don't these entities pay for it instead of the citizen who can't get anything? Why are the young police afraid to go where they have to patrol? And there's no leadership authority, no command authority dealing with getting them there. And by the way, let me give you the stats on the city you just moved to.
Okay.
65% of the police department is black. 80% of the command hierarchy is black. 60% of the judges in criminal court are black and female. All right? 60-some percent to 70-some percent of the prospective jurors are black. Okay? You have a majority of the elected officials are black. So why is it that anybody around here has got problems with racism and what happens on a day-to-day basis for government? Okay, you have the 9th District, which is 92% black. They've got a gay Jewish congressman, white, who got elected when there were 14 black folk running to replace Harold Ford Jr., who resigned to run for U.S. Senator unsuccessfully. And he's been in for the last 18 years. His showpiece item of legislation in a 92% black district is a binding resolution on the congressional cafeteria requiring the use of paper straws only. See, that's what we don't get. So this goes on and on, this list, and I've counted up about $4.5 to $5 billion that the city has committed to interest that will benefit about 150 people. I was at a so-called meeting with the candidates, and one idiot was standing up saying the solution to Memphis is, guess what, to finance billionaires so they could come in and develop the city for the rest of us and things could trickle down.
Oh, my.
Now, that's
And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm a OIF veteran, and the first thing I had to do, I had to transfer my medical records down here from Chicago. That VA hospital down there, it's in shambles. I don't know how. You can't even park. They had to put yellow tape around the parking lot. I never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, and by the way, it's located inside the city, and there are a lot of citizens of this city like you who need protection from that garbage down there. So the city might intervene with a lawsuit filed by the city, which as a sovereign entity gets a lot more attention than if some ordinary person filed it. See, the city
wow.
can do a lot. You've got somebody that's not sitting his lame, no clued behind at a desk talking about appointing a committee or a commission to study the problem at great expense so they will have some more money to steal, which will be manned by bureaucrats with no clue, sitting at a desk doing nothing for you. See, that's what happens around here. That's what's going on up in Nashville. And the rest of the state is saying, what the hell are you guys doing down there in West Tennessee? And that's
right.
why you got reaction. It didn't have anything to do with racism. You walk your butt up in there in a state that has constitutional carry, where if you're a resident of the state, you've been here for 30 days, and it's legal for you to buy a gun, and you've got a driver's license, it's legal for you to carry one without a permit. And we have law-abiding citizens. One project I have is to take people like you, retired vets, retired first responders, well, veterans, retired first responders, and decent citizens, organize them into a Second Amendment thing that Tennessee has that mayors can declare. So with the same kind of communications net and total cooperation, you help the police patrol the neighborhood and put fatherhood back in the hood. And guess what? Let's do what the Pentagon does. Instead of having civilian oversight over the police, let's have civilian command and control authority like Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the Army, Navy, Air Force, subsecretaries,
right.
all this other stuff, where you don't have to worry about it. And why is it that all of these young black cops who grew up in Memphis are scared to go patrol the bloody areas they grew up in? And why is it that you don't have a chief of police, director of police, which is what we should have, let alone the mayor going down and say, I'm your boss, we're going down there to patrol. Follow me if you want your job. See, that's what leadership is about. You know, follow me, not go over there. You see, we don't have that. We lack leaders. We're going over long.
Right.
No,
well,
no,
Antoinette,
listen,
if you can you pass them, pass Judge Brown my information? Yeah, we got to stay in touch. And thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the stats and the information. Very interesting.
JJB2023.com. That's Judge Joe Brown 2023. So it's the initials JJB2023.com. That's my website. Go there and you can check in and find out what we're doing. We just set it up so we can answer questions. You can donate.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out what you want to do or how you can do it. All right?
All right. Got you. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Antoinette, yes. Excuse me for going at length. I apologize.
No, you're fine, Judge Joe. Okay.
Okay.
Area code, we have more. I tell you, we have a lot of callers. Area code 786.
That's me. Oh, my goodness. I have learned so much. Thank you, Antoinette. Appreciate that. Judge O'Brien, much love to you. This is Dry Bones. We just love to have you on this program as well. I just want to say this to everybody listening. Judge, you can use this platform, my platform, whatever we could do to keep. But I think we need you timely at this point in time. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's a timely state for us to really learn what you were talking about as far as being. I'm going to start calling you Chief Justice Joe Brown because, to me, seriously, because I just had our conversation with people in your age group who did not realize Tuition for the Guns was based off us. And I was like, I was in shock. I was like, what? I tried to tell the people, this thing is not about, this thing was protecting us at one time and was seen to be overshadowed. But nonetheless, I'm going to say this because people don't realize you did a timely piece on Fox on the case with Hunter Biden. If y'all did not see that, y'all should watch it. That is such a timely piece because the time you in, and we need some people who got moral fiber, moral backbone, and who know what they're talking about, and I appreciate that. So I'm going to be brief, but I'm going to ask you this. You mentioned some things that was been happening. I've been doing a lot of my research through all the people I've been listening to. It seems an era where Manley Johnson, who said colored comedy is in common sense, it seemed like it was a communist manifesto to get the Negro to come up with this concept of the Black Belt thesis, where we would be acting like we were with the Communist Party. They promised us all this stuff. And come to find out that that party now seems to be manifest in the Democratic Socialist Party. It seems like you said earlier, these people are coming from these prestigious socialist liberal colleges and so forth like that. And being that you seem from being on the Hunter Biden case, able to see the intricacies of, to me, pure espionage, could you give people a brief understanding? Because they're confused about that as well, and they're confused about the Communist Manifesto that using the Democratic Party to actually want to have, that's the first thing of the manifesto, is to take guns.
Okay, let me say this.
Go ahead.
I actually, been 55 years ago, I was teaching assistant for a woman professor at UCLA. She was a visiting professor under a State Department program. She had been a professor. Well, she was a professor emeritus for the University of Moscow. And at one point, she'd been the highest-ranking woman on the Soviet Politburo, and she had been in charge of propaganda for the KGB and before that, NKVD. At one point, she got awarded as Hero of the Soviet Union for being Deputy Chief Commissar under Khrushchev, who, by the way, was from Ukraine, but he became Soviet Premier later. And she said, America is in grave danger of becoming a fascist nation. She said, she said she didn't like Americans because of what they'd done to her family. The Marine Corps division that had occupied a part of Russia in 1919 and 20 wound up killing her grandfather, two uncles, and one of her older brothers. So she had that. She said, but you have a beautiful system that's about to be ruined. She said, the fascism will not come from, quote, jackboot-wearing, goose-stepping, uniformed thugs, but from, quote, pink-panty-wearing, long-haired beatniks who want everything their way and would think nothing of imposing these horrible methods of fascism on the whole country to protect their way of life and protect you from yourself. She said that's the worst thing that could happen. And now look what we've got. First Amendment is under attack. Second Amendment's under attack. Fourth Amendment dealing with searches and seizures, that's under attack. The Fifth Amendment, you saw what they did to Dr. Cosby when, as I said on many of one of these forums, they totally violated his Fifth Amendment rights, which that's what the appellate court held in the reverse conviction. The Sixth Amendment is gone out. Due process is only a convenience when it helps out somebody's cause instead of applying to all. And it's horrible. And if you want to get a load of it, if you don't feel like reading it, Google it. There is a production done by the CIA. It's an animation in 1952, and the name of it is Animal Farm. It's by Orwell. Mm-hmm. And what happened is the animals stage a revolution and take over a human form, and they draft a constitution, and it starts out all animals are equal. But the pig subvert the process, bring in some pack of dogs to add muscle, and they take over, and the Constitution gets changed from all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And that's exactly what you're seeing right here. So it's a wake-up call. And if you get a little time, it's a well-done animation, and it's almost word for word straight out of Orwell's book, Animal Farm. So take a look at it and get reminded at what's going on in this country. Get reminded of what's going on.
Could you hit on that, and could you also hit on that Hunter Biden, you know, since you was the actual...
Oh, Hunter Biden, I was going to...
How'd you feel about that?
Okay, we saw the downloaded contents of the three laptops. It's not one like the press is talking. It was three of them had liquid damage. We brought in and got testimony from the repairman. He had all his paperwork in order. He even called up Hunter Biden and had him come down and sign off on whether you wanted this stuff back or do you want me to download it? He said download it, signed off on it. The guy did. He looked at it and it scared him. He called the FBI. They weren't interested. So he called his father, who had been in military or naval intelligence, I think, and they tried to get it, and they got it to Cuomo and some other people, and then the FBI got interested, and they confiscated the three laptops, but not before he had downloaded it. What's on those laptops, aside from the disgusting porn, Hunter Biden thought he was a porn star, and some of it's really disgusting, but aside from that, it ranges from White House tapes to emails that are like, really? It, the person that was representing the prosecution, who had literally been a Manhattan assistant DA for 19 years before he got into practice as a defense lawyer, and the other guy had been 15 as a DA, and then he was a distinguished defense lawyer. We all looked at each other and said, Fox does not need to publish all of what's on here. It will get some American agent put on a wall and shot. I mean, and the bribery, they're disgusting. Disgusting is disgusting. The fixing of situations, the big guy will meet with you, so-and-so. Dad, did you meet with them? Yeah, son, the meeting went quite well. We got what we wanted. I guess I'm earning my $84,000 a year before commissions. And what the whole thing was is, why would you want a crackhead who just got discharged from the military dishonorably for drug abuse to be involved in something business he has no expertise in, and the only thing he's being paid $84,000 to $86,000 a month for, plus bonuses, is access to his dad, who was known as the big guy in code, not real code. They've got discussions on White House tapes in there that have video, and some of that stuff is straight up and down treasonous. I mean, it's like we looked at it and said, wow. I said, what's your opinion? He said, I could get a grand jury indictment without half trying with this stuff. The other guy said, me too. I said, I could also. Why aren't you? The question, we looked at each other, what's wrong with these people? And what we had, our jury that was composed of two young black guys, two black women, two white women, and I thought it was a good jury. Their duty was to see if there was probable cause to believe that further investigation should follow on FARA, F-A-R-A, Foreign Agents Registration Act. Yeah, I mean, about every which way you can break that law is there. He's representing a foreign entity, zealously advocating it, making arrangements with them, off the side negotiating with his father arrangements, and nobody is interested. Next thing, you know that thing about the classified documents they got in Mar-a-Lago?
Right.
Well, under the Constitution, the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief of the military and also the Chief Diplomatic Officer of the country. from a long series of cases culminating in what's known as United States Department of Navy versus Egan, E-A-G-E-G-A-N, 1988. And if you read the concurring opinions, it's clear that the president can declassify a document in any form, shape, or fashion he chooses, either officially or unofficially. And since the documents are supplied to him, it's not illegal for him to possess them in any form. And by the way, they were at Mar-a-Lago, guarded by the Secret Service actively, the same Secret Service that guarded the White House, where these documents were prepared for his exclusive consumption. Now, meanwhile, they find documents in Biden's garage. But Biden was not president of the United States. He was vice president. And those documents from the leaks I have encountered seem to be related to what's on the laptop. And you note that the Secret Service refuses to publish the visitors list. And there is a high suspicion that some of the people mentioned in those documents on the laptops were, in fact, allowed to go in and take a look at this stuff. Now, Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution says the president and vice president may be impeached and, if convicted, removed from office under the 12th Amendment. If they are, they can't hold office again. Now, what are the grounds? Three. Bribery, treason, and other crimes and misdemeanors committed in office. Treason is the only crime defined in the Constitution and is very strict. It sets forth the number of witnesses and what the evidence has to consist of. Okay, let's pass that one. But bribery is certainly borne out by these tapes. And crimes and misdemeanors in office are borne out. But then let's get to Article 6 of the Constitution. We touched on that one. Article 6 says ratified treaties shall be part of the supreme law of the land. Now let's look to a treaty ratified in 1999 that President Bill Clinton negotiated. It says Ukraine and the United States shall jointly partner in fighting crime in both nations. They shall assist other in apprehending, detaining, and extraditing wanted elements of criminality. So we have an interesting thing. In early November 2020, the Ukraine Supreme Court ordered a long, multiple-count organized crime indictment unredacted. Joe and Hunter Biden are mentioned in many counts for bribery, solicitation of treason, solicitation and attempt to induce perjury, all kinds of felonies. And they list the evidence. Now, under Article 6, that treaty we have with the Ukraine says we're supposed to take his ass into custody, detain him, and extradite him to Ukraine. Well, we're not going to do that because he's president. You note him sending Kamala Harris over there, Miss Word Salad, Annie, and he doesn't go because it could create a very nasty incident if they attempted to exercise their authority under the 1999 ratified treaty. So there's also another series of treaties that the Ukraine and the United States are co-signatories to that deal with Interpol. You've heard of that, the James Bond stuff and all of the adventure stuff with born identity, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, again, it gives us an obligation to detain or arrest and detain and extradite those elements that the Ukraine wants for criminal prosecution and vice versa. And remember, Article 6 says the supreme law of the land shall consist of constitution, et cetera, laws passed to effectuate the constitution and such treaties as have been ratified by the Senate. Now, it also says these treaties shall be enforced by all judges in the land, state or federal. And that's what it said. So here you have a president of the United States who, as vice president, did something. Now, he was vice president. Well, they didn't impeach him when he was vice president, no. But the second round of impeachment of Donald Trump was when he was no longer president, so be careful what the hell you ask for. You might get it. So that means technically they could impeach Biden for what he did as a vice president. Also, let's look at what – let's just take the first round of impeachment protocols that they sent out against Trump. One of them said he obstructed the will of Congress. Next thing, it said he abused his authority. Well, first off, there's no such federal crime as abuse of authority, so where is that going to go? It's not bribery, it's not treason, and it's not a crime or misdemeanor articulated in any law. So that's out. And then the other one, he obstructed Congress, aside from the logical falsehood of that one, because Congress in Article 1 shall consist of two chambers, the House of Representatives and the Senate. And these bozos, ignorant as they are in the U.S. House of Representatives at the time, associated Congress with congressmen and thought it did not embrace the Senate. So as soon as it got to the Senate, this is the president for the party in power or in equal power in the Senate. And they say, anybody in here feel like they got obstructed? Aside from any time that a president vetoes an act of Congress, I suppose he's obstructing them, but does anybody feel obstructed? No, then that's out of there. But the dumb bunny set up a precedent so you can, after that, go after somebody and try to impeach and convict them when they no longer hold office. So they're in trouble.
Mm.
Now, that's what they're hiding on. And then let's talk about Memphis, Shelby County, about something they said. We heard all of this nonsense that Associated Press and all of that in the White House said, you know, there was no election fraud. You heard that, right?
Right.
Well, guess what? The Justice Department issued their quarterly report in Memphis, and for 2020 they said, once again, it was unacceptable election fraud in Shelby County because of hacked voting machines that, incidentally, the Justice Department put the money up to replace 2008. Their repeated findings under Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden are that the machines in Shelby County were so hopelessly hacked that there hadn't been a fair election since 2000. They had selections where the victors could be picked. They didn't have to be elected. So at the same time, same week they issued this report, there were no election, wrongs done. It was a fair election. They're issuing a simultaneous report for this county talking about the fraud. Now, finally, when I guess they got threatened with lawsuits, they got around to spending the money and replacing the machine. So we just had our first election cycle in 22 years with non-corrupted election machines. But then they started talking about, we have to raise taxes to pay for this. No. They put up all the money 15 years ago. What did you do with it?
Oh. Wow. We thank you, brother. That's amazing.
Yes.
That
okay.
Amazing. Go ahead, take one. I'm a regress. Judge O'Brown, let's do a fundraiser. I'm listening. I will give you a call. You tell me what we need to do. I'll go on the website, and we'll work from there.
Go on the website. There's fundraising there. It's $ Judge Joe Brown 2023.
Go right. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. 708. Area code 708. Okay, if you have yourself on mute.
Greetings, Sister Antoinette. Can you hear me?
Yes, and we can hear you. You're loud and clear. Judge Joe, this is my Wednesday night co-host. This is the numbers man. He does numerology.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Judge Joe Brown, this evening?
I do numerology myself. Every time I shut the car off, I look at the odometer and do the numerology just to keep the mind sharp. By the way, I'm a 33.
There you go. I love it. I love it. you brought me in when you mentioned my heart and you touched on martial arts and you mentioned a number. You said over 50 years, and I got 5 on it, so that's that 5 for me. Giving the example of how anything and everything can be used as a weapon. I loved it because people don't realize and recognize these things. And forgive me for getting off topic dealing with numerology, but that's my thing. You said you're into it too, and being a martial artist, yes. Everything that we come across that's useful information, we use it. If it's not useful, let it go, family. Let it go. And it struck me very funny. I deal with the numerical code dealing with Marty Lees. And you mentioned your email address. And the numbers were 2023. And by the code that I use, that's your name. Your number comes up to 7 when you add it up. Joe comes up to 11, which is a 2. And Brown comes up to 14, which is a 5. 2 and 5 is 7. Well, your email address is JJG2023. 20 is that 2, which is Joe, and 23 is 14, that 5, which is Brown. It added up to Joe Brown, and I was like, wow, I wonder if he knows that, but I'm quite sure you're probably using a different gematria numerology chart than I use. I use Marty Lee's because it lines up with the English alphabet directly with God and Christ, directly with metaphysics. As above, so below. It's right there in the internet. But when we don't see the number, we don't see any of this stuff that you've been talking about tonight that they're using. And they're using any and everything possible they can use to keep us asleep, dormant, not able to move, and basically the walking dead. It's a whole bunch of walking zombies around here. So
that's right.
I'm loving the information you're giving. Go ahead.
Date of birth, by the way, is 7547. That comes up to 33, and 33 in numerology is the sign of the prophet, of a prophet.
Oh, yes. Yes. When I look at prophet by the number that I deal with is 31, and 31 or 13, 13 is the number of God. This is why when people in religion get to me and stop, God, that's not in religion. Shut up. Shut up. 13, 1 plus 3 is 4. And when you go in your Bible, open it up. The fourth book of the Bible is numbers. You better talk to me in numbers and stop talking to me in foolishness. Because 5 comes up to the word code. And the whole English language, by the way, English is 32, comes up to code. We can go all the way back to, what's that, July 4th. 1776 comes up to a 5. When we see these numbers, and like I said, there's no coincidence, we can come all the way up to 9/11/2001 comes up to a 5.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at what they call the Georgia Guidestones, it's 86. 8 plus 6 is 14. It comes up to, I mean, this is all through history. We can go back and forth, but when we see these particular numbers that break down God and Christ and everything we're doing just to understand the alphabet is hidden right in front of us. As they say, it's hidden in plain sight, right in the alphabet. Brother's been sending me a lot of Hebrew Israelites. Brother, look at the number before you give me all this, because Hebrew is 27, which comes to that 9. Alphabet is 27. God and Christ is 27. See? It's that 9, and as we know, 9 is spiritual completion. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Forgive me for that, but I love numbers. This is where I am. That's why love is 14. It's that 5. I'm on the 5. I stay on it. It's in the atmosphere
right.
being 49. Go ahead, my brother.
So, now, thank you for that edification and for bringing some other people into interest, perhaps, in numerology. I'll give anybody that wants to get into the wonder, take any series of numbers, any series, no matter how long, and add them up and keep adding them up till you get just one digit, unless it's one of the magic numbers. There are several. But here's the other thing. When you do this, anything that's 9 or adds up to 9, you can remove and you get the exact same answer as if you left it in. See if you can figure out why.
That's correct. I love it.
Right.
And I'm loving it.
9 and 5 is 14, right?
It comes
one
back to the 5.
4 is 5. So you
it's
can
five.
Take the 9 out, you get 5. You get 9, 9, and 5. You still get 5 because the 9 and 9, but 9 and 9 is 18, 1 and 8 is 9, and you add 9 to the number that you have and add 1 to it, and you get right back 5.
Right back
nine
to that number. That's it. Exactly right. That's it. It's just like understanding when they tell us that the second coming is Jesus Christ, second coming comes to 4. Or God, or better yet, truth. They say the truth is going to set you free. The second coming is the truth, family. And Jesus Christ being the 5, because Jesus Christ comes in 59. We just talked about it. 5 plus 9 is 14. You back to that 5. That 5 is revealed. We in Revelations is revealing. So all has to be revealed, family, and that's what's happening. The truth is being revealed, and that's what we're talking about. We're bringing the truth to the forefront. Because, again, as Gil Scott says, the revolution, which is truth, will not be televised. And we ain't seeing the truth being televised no damn where unless we are pushing it. Like I said, the leaders are those who lead by the example, not those who from the – I'm not going to get off. I'll go to another level. Anyway, Judge Joe Brown, I thank you for your time, family. Thank you for you tuning in. And – Wednesday, if my phone is acting right, because I'm looking into another service, because they're messing with everybody's phone, not just mine, we will continue this class. Again, thank you, Judge Brown, Sister Antoinette. Until the next episode, peace and love, family.
Thank you, Brother Eddie.
All right.
Okay.
I'll give a public service announcement. Obviously, some people on here own firearms. If you have a braced pistol that you acquired in the last decade, relying upon the letter that was sent out by ATF that it was completely legal. Guess what? They didn't announce it in the media, but Biden signed an executive order that I think is illegal, but I would suggest you comply with it. It was published quietly, and you have to the last week of May to register with ATF any braced pistol as a short-barreled rifle. Otherwise, you will be subject to 10 years in the federal penitentiary and a $10,000. Ordinarily, it requires a $200 transfer or registration tax, but because people relied on their representation, they are allowing you to go without paying the tax fee. Now, to do this, you go to ATF.gov, and you look up the registration forms. As I understand it, for each pistol you have, you will have to fill out a separate registration form. You will have to provide a separate set of fingerprints, and you will have to provide a separate photo. It's up in the air as to whether you can register them all on one form, but right now the safe way is one pistol per form. So that is just something that would take, since there are about 35 million of them out there, that would put about 15 million Americans in jeopardy of going to a federal penitentiary without realizing it. And there's also a real nasty provision that even if they wind up having that little executive order declared unconstitutional, which I think is going to be the inevitable result. You will have filled this out, and when you fill it out, if you give it to them, you give them permission to visit your home place without warrant and demand entry and inspection to see how you've stored the item in question and whether you have it, and to search your premises. So that's not good. That is inexcusable. So by
yes,
the way, that's
is.
What that Native Bunch was supporting, so you get the full flavor of it. But anyway, that was a public service announcement. I thought I'd better tell people that before they get in trouble.
Well, thank you for doing that, Judge. Thank you so much. Okay. Now, I know Erico 7, wait a minute. Here it is. Okay. Erico 714. Erico 714. Erico 714, if you have yourself on mute, please take yourself off. Okay, well, I'm going to go on to the next caller. Erico 336.
Sister Antoinette, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're loud and clear.
Thank us. Greetings, Judge Joe Brown. I'm so grateful for your wisdom. Before I leave the planet, at least you are one of the wisdom keepers that keep me inspired and rolling. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine with that. You got me. If I could, I'd blush. Anyway.
And my dad would say, what you say, my boy? Well, let me get to the point, Judge Joe Brown. It is so much going on. And I'm reading this information. And please, sir, take care of yourself in a good way so you can at least be here until you get 125, because we mm-hmm. need your wisdom. Now, let me ask you this. If a 12-year-old young man was brought to your court to be reprimanded or sentenced or whatever, two incidents, one in Florida, and I can't think of where the other one was, but these young men, 12 years old, 12, one ran his grandmother over with a car, and the other one shot this girl down there in Florida. And she has the most interesting name. And greetings, Brother Eddie Harris. I'm so grateful. I've been wanting to have a reasoning with you about these numbers. Layla Silvernail in Florida. She was murdered. One of the suspects was 12 years old. Oh, 12. That's a 3. And the one that ran his grandmother over in the car, Judge Joe Brown, it hurts me because I have great grandsons coming up that age. And I pray every day that the Creator gives them right judgment. What would you say? What would you say to these young people if they had to come before you, Judge Joe Brown? What would be your wisdom for that?
You'd have to find out what's inside of them. Next thing, I'd get really concerned about who raised them. Do you do dogs? I've always had dogs around, big ones, small ones, very large ones, some very small. And if you train a dog properly, the dog becomes a good companion. He can be around other people. He's peaceful.
I've been in areas where they're dog friendly, so they've got a nightclub or after hours place, and they have 300 people in there and 25 dogs, and the dogs are sitting calmly, and people know the dogs, and they'll look up, loll their tongues out, wag their tails, get patted on the head, and they act as civilized as any person in there. And then mm-hmm. I've seen dogs, same kind of dogs, even siblings of some of the dogs that are well-behaved. Nobody trained them, and they're all out of control. And I see that. I'm 75 years old, young man, and I've done a lot with children, Boy Scout master, school teacher, playground director, you name it, college professor, worked with a lot of youth. And I have seen what happens when the child has the right kind of training and when they don't. Myself, the late Dr. Clifford Stewart, who was another profound martial artist out of Los Angeles, California, Ron Chappelle, Dr. Chappelle, who was also a martial artist, back in the 60s, we ran Trinity Avenue Elementary School Playground. It started off as one of the worst in the entire L.A. city school system, but we turned it around, and two of our students exemplify what happens when it goes right and what happens when it goes wrong. One of them, I remember, is a skinny little 12-year-old on the playground, the late singer with the very deep voice, Barry White. And his mama operated with us, and he got out of the hell hole. The other one was the last person executed on California's death row, but he did write 6 children's books for which he got commended, trying to convey what we conveyed to him, and his mama wanted to check and wouldn't let him get out of the swamp, so he just became the baddest alligator in the swamp. That was the late Tookie Williams, who was one of the co-founders of the Crips out in Los Angeles, or, you know, at least their chapter of the organization. But you see, you can do a lot, and it depends upon the circumstances of the child. And I will say this. Children may be innocent, but they're not good behaving individuals until you teach them. Children pull the wings off of bugs just to see them wiggle. They set birds on fire. They torture mice when they can catch them. And you have to civilize this child. But when you don't civilize a child and you don't acculturate and socialize the child, you have a mess. Now, I'll digress just very slightly. Back in the mid-70s, when I directed the Public Defender's Office in Memphis, I had a lot of white employees who were scared to death to go down in the black community. So I'd come in from Los Angeles a few years before that, and I wanted to get around the town, so I went. So I would have to visit these clients who would too lazy to get a bus and go downtown and see about their own cases. So when I get in, there would be 6 or 7 of these young women ranging from 12, 13 years old up to 19, 20, 22. And I'm looking at 13-year-olds as the children, and they turned out to be some of the mothers. So I'm listening to these erstwhile mothers address 9, 10, 11 of the dirtiest, foulest smelling kids you've ever seen who needed baths. They hadn't been washed. They had matted, dried food all over them, fecal material in their pants. They had snot and stuff all over their faces, and they were just dirty. And the mothers were going, "You little hen, come in here and bring my GD cigarette. Little, call them bastard, go in there and get my beer out of the fridge, you know. Why are you calling them? He just like it's no good in behind daddy. They ain't girl out here. You ain't none of them worth." It's like, wow. But you see, that's back in the mid-70s. So let's say this 6, 7-year-old kid in 1976, 77, he's 8 years old. 10 years later, 1987, he's 17 years old. 1997, he's 27 years old. 2007, He's 37 years old. 2017, he is 47 years old. 2000, we haven't got there yet. He will be 50 years old. Now, his mama, his great-grandmama, his great-great-grandmama, his great-great-great-great-grandmama and grandmama down to the sixth degree, that's all alive and well, and the great-great-great-great-great six times grandmama, she ain't even 80 years old yet. She ain't even 70 hardly. And that one called the next generation the N-word, called them greasy, pickaninny, no good, low down, worthless, and they kept calling them. So each generation worked up. That's where we got the N-word back. That N-word was just out of, you know, you just didn't use that back in the late 60s unless you were just very out of it.
Correct.
With the glorification of the dysfunction, it became popular again. Why? Because somebody sitting in that kitchen with all those unwashed babies where they got six-year-olds watching the four-year-olds watching the two-year-olds instead of mama, where they're getting beer. You got all these kids in the kitchen, and there's so much cigarette smoking that I said, look, I got to go outside. I can't stay in here for this. And we're here. Hey, you got to stop smoking that joint. I don't want to contact high. Look at your kids. They ain't going to hate them.
Wow.
And you look at, well, is she your sister? No, she the mama. She got two of them. But she ain't but 14 years old. So I would get young females in my courtroom, had their first kid at 11, 10 years old. By the time they're 19, they have three and four kids. I had one family in my court, 1994. Started off with a 57-year-old woman. She had felony drug and theft offenses. Her 43-year-old daughter she had when she was 14 was in there with the same kind of offense. The 43-year-olds, get this, 34-year-old born 1 month, 1 week shy of her 10th birthday was in there. 1 week shy of 10 years old is in there. And the 34-year-old, the 21-year-old in there with felony cases. The 21-year-old had an 11-year-old daughter pregnant with her, like a child. So I get them back when they're 2 years old in about 14, 15 months. The 57-year-old is now 59. The 23-year-old is now, and the 21-year-old is now 23. Her 11-year-old is now 13 with three children at 13 years old.
Mm.
So, one that was now 59, I had her back eyeballing her 1 week. She had 342 lineal descendants we had identified. 2 weeks later, she had 358. And within 5 years of when I retired, she wound up with 3,400 lineal descendants, of which 120-plus had been in my courtroom. We had one of her male descendants who had, guess what? 63 children, and he was 29 years old.
God damn. Excuse me. Oh, shoot, Bill Brown.
And see,
so
that's what's going on in our communities that nobody is paying attention to. It ain't funny to glorify P-Valley. It ain't funny to glorify all this dysfunction where they're trying to make money off of us, going to the lowest common denominator, a pimp, hoe, drug dealer, burglar, thief, gangster, bank robber, murderer, whatever it may be. See, we can't do that, but we're doing it.
So what you're really saying, Judge Joe Brown, is that those two individuals, those two 12-year-olds, we can look back and see their upbringing was basically just what you described. And
yeah,
you don't even have to bite your tongue about it because you know it's a fact. Wow.
a lot of people don't want me to say what I have said. I said, look, I don't care, lady. I had to deal with it for 50 years. I was on the cutting edge. I dealt with death every day of the week. And you sitting up here, you don't like it because it makes you feel uncomfortable. Well, guess what? What you're talking about is part of the problem because it leads to that. Like one of the things, bond hearings. Ma'am, the court is advised that you wish to address the court about reducing your son's bond. Is that correct? Yeah. Yes, sir. Please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that evidence you give here today will be the truth. Please be seated. Say your full name, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Now, you want to tell the court about this, please, ma'am? Well, Your Honor, he's been a good boy. He ain't never given me no problems, et cetera, et cetera. Your Honor, I done made 4 bonds on him this year. I can't afford to make number 5. The court's looking at this. 4 bonds already, 4 criminal episodes. But he's been a good boy, Your Honor. This is a good child. He's 19. Yes, sir, he ain't never give me no problems. Anytime I needed money, help with the rent, he'd give it to me. Ma'am, he dropped out of the 5th grade. He's never had a job. How do you suppose he gets the money? Oh, the Lord work in mysterious ways. I just don't ask. Ma'am, look, he's a good boy. What about this? Since he's been 15, he's had 37 felony episodes. He's been a major crime wave. But he ain't never given me no problem, so it doesn't count when he's been wrecking your neighborhood. Ain't my problem. It's your child. Well, I tell you what, man, you can't make this $25,000 bond. Let's raise it to $350,000. You certainly won't make that, and he'll be quiet and won't pester you about it because you can't go anywhere to get this bond reduced except going to the state Supreme Court, and that'll keep you from having to go ID him in the morgue when they kill him and finding a dark suit to bury him in or begging all your folk to try and help you buy one. Now, next matter. It got absolutely ridiculous. Well, he ain't done nothing, y'all. I mean, he hadn't done anything. Well, it's just his neighbors he was robbing. Just his neighbors he was robbing. Yeah, well, it ain't like he went out and robbed some white folks. That would make it better. Worse. Yeah, well, it's just his neighbors. But he lives with these people. You live there, and you're saying it's okay for him to rob his neighbors? Yeah, well, they ain't nothing but ordinary. If you say that word in here, I will speak to it that you get locked up.
Oh, my God. Judge, you're going to make me throw up. Oh, my God.
Oh, excuse me, Sister.
And that goes on.
I need to make
and everybody, they got all the righteous brothers in the penitentiary. They locked up political. Let me tell you something about that. I saw video recordation after video recordation of so-called confessions. You got an OG gangster sitting up in your courtroom perpetrating with all his buddies on the other side of the bar like he's all this and that. You get back and you look at the video, and the detective's going, young man, the court strongly advises you to request an attorney. If you cannot afford one, we've already told you we will stop until one can be appointed to represent you. I'm on your life. That's no problem. Sure, that's not going to help you out. You need to get a lawyer. And he's got snot rolling all down his face like he was like one of those 4 through 6 year olds you saw up in the dirty kitchen with roaches running all over it and dirty food all over the floor. And he's crying for his mama, and he's told on all his homies, it wasn't me, it was Stomp, little dog, and all. You know, like, okay, fine. And then they're sitting up in your courtroom, and you find they have warrants out for him because they want him as a suspect. And there they sit, take him into custody. And, oh, gee, you sitting up there crying with snot running out of your nose. Yeah, real gangster. And see, that's what you get. And the other thing is, how many times have you heard you have a right to remain silent? Do you know that most of the cases that they have would be unsolvable if somebody didn't tell on himself? And it is pathetic looking at these folk talking about they all this and that and shooting up their neighborhood, and they're so terrified, scared of white folk that they tell on themselves. I mean, I've even had, and then it goes from the sublime to the stupid. One of the worst was
there were five of these fools. They were young, and they Xeroxed 250 copies of a newspaper article about a drive-by they did, and they autographed the damn news articles they had copied. We did it.
What? Yes, Joe, excuse me, y'all. We have 14 minutes left in this live class. Judge Joe, will you be able to stay over with us?
Yeah, I'll stay over. But last point on this is, when you talk about people in the penitentiary, being in a penitentiary is being in a slave quarters on a plantation. It's not about your work. It's about the fact that just like being a slave, you don't have liberty to do what you want to do when you want to do it as an adult. Somebody gives you permission. The whole penitentiary is a slave quarter, or is slave quarters. And the other thing, most people don't realize this, just a little over 2% of all the people in the penitentiaries were found guilty by a jury. Just a little over 2%. 97%+ pled guilty, and depending upon the circumstances, 84 to 87% confessed. Yes, there's some people that shouldn't be in the penitentiary. Of course there are, but most of them should be. And the
point is, I need to make an announcement.
I'll shut up. Go someplace else. Go ahead.
No, you're fine, but forgive me. Folks, we have 13 minutes left in this live broadcast. In order to continue to hear what Judge Joe has to say, or if you have a question or a comment, you have to call in. And the call-in number is area code 515-605-9343. Again, that number is area 515-605-9343. And Judge Joe, do you want to tell folks again your website so that they can donate and also get your barbecue sauce?
Okay, I'm going to say that. I'm into service and sauce. For service, it's JJB2023.com. That's Judge Joe Brown in 2023, Shin Brown downtown, and take back your town for mayor of Memphis, Tennessee. And the other thing,
right,
I do talk, Judge Joe Brown Barbecue. Go to JJBBBQ.com, JJBBBQ.com. And honestly, it's good stuff. It's been winning a lot of blind taste testing contests, and you can find the stuff on your shelves in various of the grocery stores on the West Coast. It's coming to the Tennessee and Georgia area a month after this. You can go online and order it. We've been doing a thing with Tiffany Haddish, and she and I have been doing some real crazy commercials you'll probably be seeing. And she's an investor, and we have everything from barbecue sauce, barbecue powder, hot, mild, OG, you name, to chicken links, raw and smoked, mild and hot. And they are packed by the only meat packing plant owned by a black American woman in California, certified by USDA. So we're trying to make things happen. Check it out. You'll also see that a very outstanding clinical psychologist who started something I want to bring in as mayor. Her name is Dr. Cheyenne Bryant. She's a movie star, beautiful, and I always tease, I'm crazy, help me, you know. But one thing she is doing, she set up a program out in L.A. where every single cop's got to go through her on a rotational basis to be assessed as to whether he or she is supposed to remain out there dealing with the public. So that's a good thing. So we're trying to bring this stuff going where we uphold the community. But that's JJB in 2023 for mayor of Memphis, Tennessee. Sid Brown downtown, take back your town. Okay.
All
now,
right. Yeah,
let's
true.
Get it on. 14,
okay. Yes. Okay. I'm going to go on to the next caller, and I know. Boy, oh boy. Let me do it this way. Area code 804. There's so many people on the line. Area code 804.
Oh, yeah. I spoke earlier, but I just want to say, Commander Judge, on speaking, great, you're bringing up a lot of points, Judge, that need to be touched on. So I'm just going to bring up one more point, that when you look at the condition today, and you were talking about 50 years ago, actually it's so much worse. We had a lot of things go down here in Richmond this weekend. Matter of fact, somebody threw a drink on somebody in the club on Saturday night, and then they got the shooting in the club.
Mm. Oh, my.
Yeah. So, you know, a very on the edge judge, you know, and most times it's women fighting now, but I don't know who did this one.
Yeah.
And a lot of
well,
people are saying that cars
one
are getting broken
into. One of these days, young Mr. Johnson, we're going to sit down and talk about what I went through. And let me say this. By the time I was 14 or 15, I'd seen at least 12 or 14 people killed within 10, 15 yards of where I was standing when they got killed. I grew up in South Central. It used to be real dangerous then. We didn't have Crips, Vice Lords, whatever it may be, Crips, Bloods. We had Dell Vikings, businessmen, De La Soul, Bobtown, et cetera, Slawson's. And that stuff died out, by the way, with the 65 riot up in L.A., or uprising, as we called it, which is another story I won't go to. But anyhow, yeah, it's bad, but it could be a lot worse. There's hope. We just have to learn how to deal with believing that we can do what we need to do and stop worrying about somebody doing it for us.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next caller because we only have like an hour left. Area code 404.
Hey, Antoinette Judge. Hey,
hello.
All right.
Yes, sir. Hey, Judge, you right up my alley with groceries, man. I sent you a story about some black-owned grocery stores. I sent it to Antoinette and most of the family. It's called Yellow Banana. Did you happen to see that yet, Judge? I sent it to you.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay, it's a black-owned grocery store chain called Yellow Banana, and I think two or three black men own it and one white guy. And they got good fresh food. They're taking over the old Save-A-Lot. Okay, they got franchises in Cleveland. And in Milwaukee and some other place. And the people in Cleveland got no problem. In Milwaukee got no problem. They got fresh. And see, I get tired of people talking about ain't no black grocery stores. Okay, now it's one. They're trying to get a niche in Chicago, Judge. And most people are going for it. But it's a little element in Chicago that don't act like they don't want it. So I say, to hell with Chicago and move on to others like Memphis, man. And you can sell your product. But...
Yeah.
Well,
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make Memphis the mecca for everybody. If you want to get something going on, you come to Memphis, not Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
And
I just want people to have
the Detroit of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. I just want our people to have our support our own grocery stores, man. Yes, sir. So I want you to check that out, Judge, Antoinette, the rest of the family, and I think it's one in Jacksonville. But the places, you don't hear nobody, them people talking about they got a food desert because they support their own and they eat good. That's the main common denominator, their kitchen.
I tell you what, one of the problems with why we have food deserts, I knew the manager of a Kroger here in Memphis that closed. He said, Joe, look, man. We just arrested a woman for the 11th time for shoplifting, and she was trying to get out of here with several hundred dollars worth of merchandise. All of those other 10 shopliftings are still pending, and we can't do anything operating like this. We can't take these losses.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Judge, you check the intel out, man,
I'll check it out.
Talk about it later on. Yes, sir.
But my point
Yellow Banana, family.
My point is,
I love it that they're starting a business, but I hope some of our own people don't take them out by creating excessive, unmanageable losses, if you get what I'm talking about. That's not
good. Yeah. They plan to hire like 20 people from the community, each community, and they're going to have the people that got the specialty, like coffee and to sell in their store. But anyway, check it out, Judge, and Antoinette and family, and we discuss it later on because that's what I'm about, man. I get tired. It's time for us to start supporting us, man.
All right.
Yes, we will. All right, thank you, Wesley. Erico 706. Erico 706. I believe this is Brother Kwame. Okay, well, we'll come back to him. Okay, I know we have more. Okay, Erico 773.
Erico 773. Yeah, you got me already, Antoinette. But look, I'm going to say this real quick.
Okay, you had your hand back up. Okay.
Oh, no, I never took it down. Now, the area I had left Chicago was in Inglewood. And what happened, the reason why it's a food desert there, because all the people left. A lot of people, the kids and the grandkids, like I said, the parents and stuff like that, they died, the kids and the grandkids, the property, they didn't want it or they sold it, and they left the neighborhood. And when they left the neighborhood, the businesses left with them. And so it's one of those things now where they have like the because, you know, Illinois is a sanctuary state. Chicago is a sanctuary city. So you have a lot of the Hispanics and Mexicans moving in the neighborhoods. But it's still not enough people to keep up a strong business base up there. And plus what happened some years ago, Norfolk Southern, especially there in Inglewood, was buying up a lot of the land, and they bought out a lot of the people and stuff and the houses and everything. And so just this past January that they're having another meeting now, finalizing a deal where they're going to buy up the majority of the land in that area to expand the rail yard, you know, because so they're trying to make that particular area a transportation hub. And then I know they have some real estate land developers from Ohio that had bought up the land over there and was trying to put up some apartment buildings. I also know that part of that land was designated for veterans housing. But the area is so damn bad over there, nobody wants to stay over there. You can get people to go over there, they'll live over there for about a year, less than that, and they see how the crime is, and then they leave. So...
Hmm.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have one from my state, Judge Joe.
Yes, ma'am.
Area code 302.
Yes, sir. Is this me?
Hello, cuz. This is my cousin.
Hey, how you doing, Judge Joe? How you doing? How you doing, Judge Brown? Fine, thank you, sir. I just want to know if anybody heard, do we have to stay on that same topic about the food desert, or can I bring up something right quick? Because I was looking at the news. Anything?
Yeah, go for it.
I was looking at the news, and I just want to know, I don't know how far that is or how close that is to you, Judge, but I just want to know if anybody heard about this mass shooting in Kentucky, about an employee shot and killed, I know he shot 8 people. I don't know. I know the vast majority of them in the bank.
Yeah. Okay.
So
this is nothing new. Anybody ever heard of Jesse James?
Yes.
What did he do? He held up banks. How many people did he kill, killing, holding up banks with single action black powder revolvers in Winchester?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody
yep.
heard John Dillinger?
Pretty
Boy Floyd.
Pretty Boy Floyd.
Machine Gun Kelly, Notorious Bank. Okay, it ain't nothing new. And this guy worked.
He worked for the bank. But the thing that gets me now is, okay, before they would say, about the gun laws and the gun controls and this, that, and the other. Well, this kid worked for the bank, for number one. And now they're calling it what did they call it now? They changed the tune of the crime from one thing to another. First, it's the gun control and this, that, and the other. Now it's, not a disgruntled employee, but employee that has mental problems. And he was a former employee, but he had slight mental problems. They address it according to their PR people. I mean, this guy, he killed the president of the bank. He killed some of the employees from the bank. But the ones, it seemed like he targeted these people. The people that he killed, he didn't randomly kill these people. He knew who he was going to shoot. And then, he didn't shoot himself. That was the first initial call on it, but I believe the police killed him, you know. But they're calling it an act of mental, but anyway.
Suicide by cop.
Yeah.
It's people that do
that.
They
didn't say that. This is something else something else now. This is a new charge now that I have to look it up and we'll talk about it another time.
I'm sorry, but the judge has dropped.
I'm familiar with it. It's once again it is somebody who has a specific grievance against a certain set of people rather than shooting up something at random. As far as the guns go, most of the serious hardware that gets used comes in, guess where? Smuggled in with the drugs that are used in the drug shop with the war on drugs. Or like in Chicago where they broke into those three boxcars at the IC rail yard. And they stole a whole lot of heavyweight guns. So you're not going to stop that because there's always the black market. And a lot of the heavyweight stuff comes in from Israel, Korea. It comes in from the Middle East. It comes in from South America along with shipments of drugs. And as long as you can't stop the war on drugs, you can't stop the drugs, you can't stop that stuff either, because when they send in bales of the drugs, they send in other guns. And that stuff is sent over by the Israeli government, who's supposed to be raising money to fight terrorism for the South America. We're fighting terrorism, used to be communism. The Middle East, the same thing. The Korean, South Koreans, they set up their own indigenous industry known as Daewoo, Daewoo, and they have a surplus of American serious hardware over there. They're bootlegging over with the contributions of the U.S. government because they're trying to raise money for black ops to deal with North Korea, etc. It's poisonous. And there's little concerted, wise way of dealing. Like the Mississippi River, you've got barge traffic that comes in Europe and South America. They put them on ocean-going barge transports. They drop the hatches in New Orleans. They float them up to Memphis. They don't go to customs until they get to Memphis, and it takes about 30 days from when they dropped off in New Orleans until they get here. They send shipments in and out of these estuaries and little backwaters with the mail packets. Up here, it's not stopped. Meanwhile, instead of utilizing the trade to bring in industry and
eastern seaport trade from Europe directly to Memphis. The clowns here ignore it. But it's a bad problem. Bad problem. But it still goes back to character. You're not raising these boys like they're men.
That's right.
And the solution,
right,
most of these clowns are offering just makes the problem worse.
Yeah, and now I see I'm looking right at it now. 5 killed, 8 injured, and shooting at bay. But you know, another thing, and this has to do with politics, Judge, and I'm not down at all, but it's this here. Every time something like this happens, every single time, then they want to choke the – they want to put the gun control in a chokehold. Whereas I don't know how many and how long they're going to try to pull this choking game, but it's not the people. They make it hard. They make it bad for the law-abiding citizens to purchase guns when they don't have a dog in this fight. They better be worried about the people who illegally get them. They don't care. They just laugh. They don't care nothing about the politicians trying to put through the chokehold on these gun controls. They don't need no, they don't, do you think they go up to these places and show their driver's license, background check, social security card?
Okay.
I know a guy right now that can go out here and I guarantee you in 30 minutes or less, he'll come back with a brand new gun and a case. 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 30 minutes where it might take you 30 days to get a background check.
Well, I tell you
so
what,
I don't know why they're making the honest person.
In Memphis, got their gun stolen within 2 weeks of starting here. Accused of crime 3 weeks later. How about that? The thing that's interesting, Memphis, we keep stats, and around here, you know where the safest areas of the city are? It's where the citizens are most heavily armed. The crooks don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I represent them. I said, why are you still with it, man? Lloyd Brown, man. Them folk got guns, man. We ain't going over there. We ain't crazy. They shoot you. So you hold your neighbor. Yeah. See, that's... Why do you think the U.S. government has a Department of Defense and so does Russia and China and Korea and everybody else in the world? It's because people will do things to each other if they don't respect your ability to do it back.
Uh-huh.
The other day I was someplace, some guy that was clowning. Yay, man, I like that new coat you don't get me. Yay, let's try it on. I said, tell you what I'll do better. I'll buy you a dark suit for your film. What you say, man?
Oh, my.
Listen to it. I know what Judge's talking about. Let him finish.
So, bottom line is, look, I'm an old man. You sure will be embarrassed when I get through dealing with you, and I'll be feeling good. And if you kill me, I'll go to Valhalla, but I'm going to take you with me. And it's going to be embarrassing. You strapped? Yeah. Want to try me? I think this will be fun. I've been practicing. Like, come on, go for your stuff. Let's go for it. Come on, come on, come on. I can pull off some of that dirty hair in there. Feel lucky? You know, dirt started running.
What do you do, Judge?
Okay, because I got to move on. We have other callers. We have other callers. I have to move on.
No, all right.
Okay.
I'm all in one.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Area code 313.
313.
Echo 313.
Legend.
Oh, hi,
Legend.
It's Kim.
Hello.
Hello there.
I've been listening to all that you've been saying, Judge. You know, and
all I want to say is whatever I can do to be of assistance, I want to do that. Because that's a part of what the mission is, you know. One of the problems that I see, like you're saying, is that it's a major problem. And then we're trying to have people do stuff around here. A part of my assignment is job development.
Yeah.
God is giving me stuff for my people. But then the people where I'm at helping me, I'm in worse than the work of Holy Spirit. But keep up the good work there.
We heard you singing at the beginning of the show.
Yes. I played your Lift Every Voice, Miss Kim.
I heard you, darling. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry, go ahead. Miss Kim, I just got a message that people said they can't understand you. Can you talk up louder?
Okay. Is that better?
Your phone was going in and out. Yeah. Your phone line is breaking up.
Lift your voice and sing.
The last part of that.
Start.
You all are breaking up.
He said he heard you, your song, Lift Every Voice and Sing. That was the song that I opened up with.
That's our song.
Yes, it is.
And it does say lift every voice.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Hey, Judge, do you have the info on, you say people that, for the class for young brothers that want to be airline pilots?
Wait a minute, I have other callers, Wes.
Okay, well, yes, I'll bring that up to Weston. She and Ms. Dolores Brown are with the Tuskegee Airmen's Institute, and they have a problem. They have a Smithsonian Institution funded flight program. They take in 20 students every 10 months. When you complete it, you get a commercial airline pilot's license for multi-engine instrument flying, and you can work for FedEx, American, Delta. You can be 23, 24 years old with six-figure income, up to seven figures for the rest of your life every year. You're supposed to be 18 to 21, vision correctable to 2040, in good health. It's worth $90,000 to $100,000, the scholarship. And you get full room and board, spending money, don't have to spend a dime. It's full time for 9 months. You can go back to college, go to the military, do whatever you want to do, but 18 to 21 is there. But the problem is even though we have 20 funded positions every 10 months, the last classes, they only had three applicants for 20 positions. And the Smithsonian is threatening to cancel the program. And this has been going back literally to the beginning of World War II when the original Tuskegee Airmen went through this program to become those combat fighter pilots flying P-51s in World War II, the Red Tails. They did a movie about it, several movies, three, I think, actually.
Mm-hmm. And documentaries.
Don't let the program get canceled. But anyway, I thought I'd mention that.
Well, thank you, Judge. Ms. Kim, were you complete?
I'm all right now. I did want to speak on when the young people and what was happening. One of the things that God blessed me with, the youth program, I had the Earl Phoenix and the BKs, which were the two most dangerous gangs that it was said that whenever they got together, there was going to be a shooting. And I had them as well as some other gangs all in the auditorium at one time. I went to the Lord, and he let me know
that love handles it all. Don't mean that you got to be stupid. Meek don't mean to be weak. As a matter of fact, you got to have something to be meek.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's it.
Go ahead, Judge. Go ahead, Judge.
No, I wasn't saying anything. I was just saying, there you go.
Yes. Okay, Ms. Kim, if you're complete, I'm going to go on to the next caller.
Go ahead, Judge.
Okay. Area code 732.
Yes. Good day, Internet, and hi, salutation to everyone. But anyway, when Judge Joe was talking about the sixth generation curse, back to when, how it's systematic set up to set you back and down and out. I remember when I was younger, they came into my home, and the only way my father wasn't really working too much, but the only way they would do anything to help was my father had to leave the home, and then they gave my mother welfare. Then when they gave my mother the welfare, when I turned, I was almost 18 years old, they came into our home, and they tried to plan my life, the rest of my life, on welfare. So anyway, I didn't have children or anything. I got ended up getting married. So when I got married, then they wanted my husband to take care of my mother. So it seems like it's just anything for the system to try to tear us down. Do you know when they wanted my husband to take care of my mother, you know what that was supposed to do to me and my husband? That was supposed to have broke us up, right? And then I guess they figured after we were broke up, no telling where I would have ended up at. But it didn't break us up, and I ended up straightening it out. So all I'm saying is, and I know a lot of times it just seems so hard to accept this, but this is systematic setup, and it's against us. And it's hard because when you don't have someone. Well, I didn't have anyone to tell me not to, but I was one of those, I was always one of them headstrong people anyway. You don't tell me what to do. And so, but the one thing we all can do is, even if it's just one of the younger people out there that we can get to, and perhaps that's what we need to do, because it's even more tear down time now for our people. And that's what I started to do because I didn't have any children, I think, until I was married 5 or 6 years. So that's what I started to do. I started to gather with a lot of the younger people, and even sometimes I would have, you know, maybe one of the younger people at my home and everything. So we have just got to come together and make ways for our people because we know it's worse now than ever. But thank you so much for hearing me.
Well,
thank you
for calling. 50 years ago, when I worked in the legal services program, the number one case we had was getting the check turned back on because it got cut off because there was a father or two trying to be daddy to some children, and they didn't want them around. And then you had a whole lot of things that kind of got in that way. I don't like it, didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there was no legal basis for them to do that to your husband. That was just wrong. And it was somebody using the authority and power of the position they had to try and do that. They should have been prosecuted.
I wish I'd have knew that then. But thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for persevering. That was most commendable. Most.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Judge Joe, do you have plans to encourage small businesses?
Yes, I do. Rather than spending several billion dollars on enriching a very few, They ought to spend the money on subsidizing small businessmen in setting up their businesses. There was a clown that is also running for mayor Saturday. He was holding forth about how the city would prosper more if it financed operations by billionaires to induce them to come to the city. Have you really lost your mind? That doesn't even make any economic sense, the proposal you're laying out. But no, that kind of money needs to be put into developing the small businessman. Now, one of the things that is interesting is this unrecognized avenue for corruption to defeat what small businessmen are trying to do. Banks can have accounts up to whatever limits they want to set on themselves, so long as a certain percentage of those accounts are backed up by actual cash deposits. What happens is that they work out deals under the table with city councilmen, county commissioners, aldermen, and whatever. So the cities and the counties and the governmental entities put all of their money in one or two banks. That ramps up enormously the deposits that this bank has, which ramps up the ceiling on what they can do on their account books in terms of loans, lines of credit, etc. So they usually, the certain favored group, and keep financing them over and over again, and nobody gets any problem, any fallout from it to help off the ordinary person upon whom this entire economy in this country is built. Now, in Memphis, everything was put into what they call First Tennessee. It's now First Horizon because it got bought out. But First Horizon is no longer a Tennessee bank. It's not even an American bank. It's a Canadian bank. So all of the money in Memphis and Shelby County, the clerk's offices, courts, everything, sheriff's departments, fines, forfeitures, except for deposits of cash, except for they come out of in accounts that come out of property tax, they all go into this Canadian bank, which gives plentiful and easy loans to a certain select group of people who get all of the meat and gravy, and the rest of the people suffer. So that's going to change. So we can do stuff like that. You have to know what you're doing and do it.
Yeah. Good. Now, Judge Joe, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in Memphis, the cleaning of the streets, the crime, just with people not being safe even to really walk out their door, you know. So are you willing to get your hands dirty and walk with the people to clean it up?
I'm not going
to
walk with
to be
people.
Out
I'm
in the street?
Pardon I'm not going to walk. I'm going to walk in front of them and they can follow me. Like I told some young cops who advised me that they were afraid to go patrol the areas they were assigned. I said, I tell you what, you got to get used to this. I'm going to be your boss. So I'm going to go there and you good and damn well better follow your boss if you want to keep your job. That's what you signed up for and you claim to have grown up there, but you got a little too boule on them because you joined the frats and stuff. So, but, hey, it ain't going to hurt you to go back to where you grew up and make it better. Well, Judge, it just ain't safe. I said, no, it's not safe. But you signed up for it. You have Kevlar and the pistol that's furnished by the people of the city. Just put them to use. But I said, I'm going. You can come right behind me. I'm not going to say that's where you need to go. I'm going to say follow me. So if you can't follow an old man, you got some problems.
Yes. Now, Judge, every city has a budget. Do you already have plans for your budget, and will you make that known to the people?
I looked at it, and we have a very good revenue base, but I'm looking at where it goes and doesn't go. And I'm saying, no way in the devil is this going to continue. A quarter of a billion to help finance an international hotel chain doing some downtown improvements. Why? You're spending $750 million on converting a football field into a soccer stadium. Why? You see,
what's going on here? What did the people get out of this? And when they get this money, nobody can use it. You don't even have a budget to put sand and salt in the bins so you can spread them out when we get the inevitable icy days where all kinds of people get hit and cars get wrecked because of the avoidable icy conditions. What's wrong with you people? You haven't upgraded Memphis Light, Gas, and Water in 25 years. When I got here 50 years ago, that was snow on the ground from late December all the way through March, all the time. Now it may have a little snow 2 or 3 days out of the year, and everything breaks down. Used to be you could have some horrible storms and nothing happened with the power. Now anytime there's a slight sprinkle, everything breaks down and power breaks down all over the city because everything's so decrepit. And all these people nominally doing community service, why aren't they out there cleaning them up like I used to make my probationers? You got a lot of stuff that you can do for this. Potholes. Why aren't there trucks out filling these potholes like there used to be? And quit giving our money away to some crook who has been bribing you. You see, that's where it goes.
Yes.
Look here. They wanted to come up with $5 million to study reparations. Not a dime of that money is left because they stole it all, and nothing has come out of it. And you were sitting here on a majority black city council. You claim to be black, getting elected to it, and you don't have any ideas about it?
Yeah, something's not right with that.
No, it's not right.
Mm-mm. No. Now, Judge Joe, will you make the budget plan, will you make the funds and everything available for the people to review and for them to give you input on what they would like some of the funds to be spent on?
Yes, we're going to do something about that also, customer service. We're going to have some secret consumers who will go around making complaints to police, to the zoning departments, to stuff like that, and see how they report back on the response. There's going to be a bunch of this. You got 2 weeks to get this cleaned up or fixed, or you need to find yourself another job because you're going to be fired. You can see civil service if this isn't done in 2 weeks. You got three, you got 1 week, whatever it may be. Let's get it done. And by the way, I don't like it when I went to a meeting where they wanted to open up a new gas station, except it's a revitalization of one that hasn't had the tanks inspected since, can you get this, 1953, that's 70 years ago. They are shattered. They're porous. If you put gasoline in there, you pollute the ground and the water table, and you are inviting high crime there. So why are you doing this? And by the way, by law, you're supposed to give everybody within 500 feet of this supposed development a notice to be received no later than 10 days before the hearing, and everybody's stuff is postmarked 4 days before. They assembled it, and you haven't done an environmental fact check, which would block all of this. What's wrong with you? This is not going to wash. I'm not getting in there, but the folks that don't like me because I'm blocking their action, their under-the-table action. I've been winning every single poll they've had, unofficial polls, but the local newspaper talks about everybody else. They won't even mention that I'm in the race. I find that interesting. But,
yes. I do as well. Yes, you're open, Brother Kwame.
Okay, thanks. Good evening, Judge Joe Brown.
Yes, sir.
I'm really enjoying all of the information you're sharing and about this whole thing that's been happening there in Tennessee. Tennessee Tribune, March 11, 2023, Nashville, says that new data analysis revealed Nashville, the top manufacturer of crime guns, because I know that their major gun factories there in Tennessee, the Ruger, Smith & Wesson just moved there in 2021, Glock, Taurus, and a few others. And all of these manufacturers that are there, and what they're saying in this article is that how can we look at, we have all of these things that these guns are being distributed, sold, manufactured, and illegally.
Wait, first off, that's an outright lie. Those companies are not located here in Tennessee. They were trying, to get some relocated manufacturers here to promote jobs. Barrett is here. It's up by Murfreesboro near Lynchburg, where they make Jack Daniel's. Okay, you've got a situation where they were trying to get them into Memphis, but those guns are not being used in crime bought across the counter. The guns that are being used in crime are like the gun that was owned by the new chief of police that got stolen from that person's car because they didn't want to take it into a restaurant, they said. That didn't want guns in there, and hell, they're the chief of police, and that restaurant was part of a group that had been robbed recently. But the stolen gun was allegedly used in crime 3 weeks after it was stolen from the new chief. They've had 4,000 some car break-ins in the last year, and a lot of guns were stolen. They don't even break in to get money and stuff like that. They're looking for guns. Because they have these signs that they don't want people bringing lawfully carried guns into the restaurant, so they put them in the glove compartment of the cars, and that's what they hit. As I said earlier, a great number of the guns used in crime come in with the drugs. You don't stop the shipments of drugs. You don't stop the shipments of guns that come in with them. That's where it comes from. They're pretty tight in Tennessee on the background checks, and I can remember one interesting situation. Hell, I'm a judge, and five uniformed patrol cops, we all got blocked from buying guns. They wanted us arrested as being criminal elements, and the place said, I'm not them. They're uniform, and this guy sits on the bench. He's a judge, and stuff like that happened recently. They're pretty tight on it. The guns are not bought in gun shows. They're not bought at the gun stores. What happens is they're stolen. They come from places like where I see Rail Yard up in Chicago, got those three boxcars with thousands of serious weapons stolen from them. See, every week there are shipments in 18-wheelers going down these highways to get hijacked because of inside information. They're taking armaments to a sheriff's department, to a state police agency, to a military unit, and they get hijacked and they get put into distribution, like somebody just said. And I know clients that were like that. You tell them, yeah, you really can do that, this is what you want. They come back with it. I don't want a stolen weapon, but I check. When I had the opportunity, we had to record every single weapon that was seized in Shelby County. Most of it was 80, 90-year-old junk. Rusted out, wouldn't even move. And the rest of it, and the stuff that was good, you could trace where it came in. It went out of the country into South America, to Europe, and it came back. So, yeah. But that's a lot of mythology, and actually it has nothing to do with the weaponry. For a fact, a statistical fact, three times more people get killed every year by claw hammers out of tool kits than they do with guns. Five times as many get done in by butcher knives than by guns, and quite a few times as many get killed by NF drivers who have 4,000-pound vehicles going 70 miles an hour and killing somebody. But the utility of the thing is that the collateral damage is deemed to be worthwhile when it comes to automotive transportation for our convenience. But keeping yourself and your family safe is one thing. Keeping the government honest is another, but we don't value that. And by the way, I'll tell you this, most people don't realize it.
The Supreme Court has many times ruled that the police have no duty to protect you unless you are in their physical custody. If they happen to stumble upon you while there is a crime in progress, then they have to protect you in the process of attempting to subdue the criminal or the purported criminal from committing further breach of public peace, dignity, and order, but they have no duty to protect you. And 999 times out of 1,000, what's going to happen is all they can do is draw a chalk outline around your body. They can't stop it, so it's up to you to protect yourself. We have that written into the Constitution, so we don't need a draconian and oppressive government to protect you and meanwhile turn it into a dictatorial fascist mess, which is something that happens more often than you think, because I know some sick people that are in positions of authority that abuse it. They shouldn't be where they are, but they are. Now, that said,
you said the company was Barrett. That's the one that that makes the weapons that's used by the military and owned by Ronnie Barrett Firearms Manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a 50 caliber rifle. They sell a 50 caliber rifle.
Yes.
Right.
They're quite fascinating. It takes a lot of concentration. He lives them way out there. So my father taught me to shoot when I was 6 years old, so I've been shooting, let's see, that will be 70 years this year. And I get good at it. I do the guy with something my people can. But we don't kill folks. I can't do without using a weapon. Most people, if you got the training I do, then I'm an old man. But if not, you're in trouble. And I haven't walked into a room anywhere, hotel, lobby, restaurant, somebody's house. Last time I grew up, my 5 years, and after a while, you don't need a pistol. You can kill somebody quicker without a pistol than you can with one. So what are you going to do about people like that? And registers when you know, registered, they're safe, not hurt you.
Yeah.
Character lives in, since we were here in the cave. We're in the condo now, but we're the same person. It's character. They don't teach character. They try to take manhood out of the equation. Everybody's supposed to be soft and emotional. Worst thing you can do is take the predator on the first animal that's ever been here and make him an emotional wreck where he's not in good tight control of himself. You don't teach him responsibility, accountability, protecting, providing, and dealing with what he needs to deal with. And we're saying anything that you want to have to do your duty as a human to the human race and protect and provide for them. You don't have to protect womanhood and promote manhood. Mm-hmm. See, that's wrong. And that's where we get trouble. And most of the solutions just grant that problem to make it worse.
Yes, well, Judge Joe, I think we're going to end this now, and I want to thank you and everyone for being with us, and especially to you, Judge Joe. It's been wonderful, as always, and I want to encourage everyone to donate to Judge Joe's campaign, because we need a judge like this to become mayor. You know, someone that is no holds barred, but also who's going to be fair with
observing the things that are going on and working for his city and bringing Memphis former glory for what Memphis is known for, barbecues and the House of Blues, you know, for the blues. So we want to definitely want that to come back so that it'll be safe for all of us to visit there. So, Judge Joe, do you have any closing remarks that you'd like to give?
Let's put it this way. What you need to do is find out what makes you tick, what your cause is. If you don't have one, get one. Have a purpose so you can look in the mirror every morning and answer this question truthfully and positively, that you acted like a man or, in the other case, a woman the day before, that you're going to act better the day you're looking in the mirror, and you will prepare yourself that day to be better at it tomorrow so you can make a difference for the day after tomorrow. You'll be all right. It works. It takes a lot of the crooks and converts them from liabilities to great assets when you say, this is what it's about. This is why you are here. This is your purpose. It ain't just a selfish thing. Because that way, if you don't give a damn about anybody else, you won't do those things that make you somebody who will be remembered after you're gone. Be remembered.
Yeah.
That's what
yes,
I'd say.
That's important. Yes. Yes, sir. Well, I think that is wonderful. I want to remind everyone that Wednesday, Brother Eddie and I will be on at 9:00 Eastern Time. And Friday, I'll be on again, and that's going to be the women's night. So that's for the women to get together. And that will be Friday at 9:00. And, of course, don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday for the Helios Delios at 10:30, I want to say, because lately it's been 10:30. So 10:30 Eastern time. And Ms. Kim, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to make? Ms. Kim?
Got me on mute.
No. Oh, you have you on mute. Okay.
I just want to judge. I'm praying for you. And that's what we should do. That's the Lord putting me in, because the Lord puts you in and he takes you down. He puts you up. We need to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And if you know the one, that's where the power is.
God
bless.
God bless you. Well, Judge, I want to tell you, I got a text that said you were fantastic and you were so honorable.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, he was.
That's what.
Yes.
Okay. And that's missing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, if there's nothing else, we will bid you a good night until the next time.
But before you go in,
I
just want to let you know, Your Honor, that what you were saying about people finding themselves, that's what my program was based on for 17 years.
Oh,
wait a minute. I'm sorry, Judge. I'm sorry, Ms. Kim. There's someone that wants to get in really quick, and I had opened their lines up earlier, but they weren't there. But let me get them in now. Area code 916.
Good evening, Antoinette. How are you?
Good evening, Ms. Brown. How are you evening?
Hi there, Ms. Morris.
Hi, how are you?
Hello there, lady.
I need to just ask you something. You touched on some of the things that was of a concern for me, and that was the terrible potholes and the driving conditions on any street or highway in Memphis. The litter that is just terrible. Memphis does not have appeal that would want someone to come to that city. But my concern is the rate in the capital, but I mean in the United States. But it's also listed as the most violent city with property crime rates. I mean, things like gun violence, homicide, burglaries, aggravated assault, thefts, gang wars. And just in 2023, your murder rates are up 44%. And we're only 3 months into 2023. I mean, why do you, any idea why that's happening? Why the rate
is
so high?
It's frustrating. It's beginning. They're frustrated. You and I, you remember when we went to the East End and we were talking to the people and you said you had no idea that the young men were getting that way?
Yes,
it's like they're being told they're full of crap, they're useless, they're toxic, whatever, and they're getting mad. They're getting very angry. And if you were looking at people who had jobs, because some of the people in there were school teachers, engineers, and all that kind of stuff, can you imagine what it's like when you are down there on the people who are lower down the economic scale when that happens, when it's just more of the same, more of the same, and they're looking at these people stealing? And you saw that. That's absolutely crazy. But you saw these people come up to me like there's hope. Somebody can come down here and lead. You saw all those people come up, Judge, please, we're so glad you're doing this.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true.
And if it wasn't me, it'd be somebody else. And I've been saying, when are some of you people going to get the idea that it's not about becoming a leader? Is not just holding an office where you can sit back and connive to steal. Leading is putting your butt on the line, playing Batman if necessary, to go out and deliver your people. You got to say, come follow me. You know, your husband wasn't one of these folks that said, you know, you guys go over there. Hell, he said, I'm on the way. It's me out there.
Right.
30,000 feet up at 70 below zero and 300 miles an hour, 4 hours from home. Your husband, I met him, your late husband, was a hell of a guy. Met the two of you, what is it, 25, 30 years ago? But, you know, it's something. Yeah, it's something when you get these clowns. They're supposed to be men, but they don't know how to act like a man. That's where the problem comes in. It's like, dude, wait a minute. You got every opportunity. Who do you think is supposed to do this for you? You know, if you aren't willing to do it for yourself. Well, what are you about?
Jana, we need, like you said, we tell them to follow you. We haven't had anybody to follow in a good while.
Amen.
That's true.
That's very true.
That's it.
Thank you. Our soldiers have built all around the world. It's time for them to do something at home. What do you think about that?
100%. You're right. And Ukraine, why are we in Ukraine, really? See, one of the things Putin's telling the world is Russia's trying to protect the rest of the world from a resurgence of Nazism, because at the end of World War II, Ukraine didn't have to participate in the Nuremberg trials for crimes against humanity because Stalin said the Soviets would take care of it. They didn't. And a lot of those resurgent Nazis are trying to do what they're doing. Now, are we in Ukraine to serve U.S. interests? Or are we there so Biden will get the indictments against him and his son dismissed?
We talked about that earlier. I didn't go there, but there are some pending indictments against him and a 1999 amendment, not amendment, treaty ratified by the Senate said that the United States and Ukraine would cooperate in apprehending, detaining, and extraditing parties that the other wanted for criminal activity. So Biden, Joe, and Hunter are under indictment in a very long organized crime indictment that the Ukraine Supreme Court released in November 2020, which if you wanted to look at, you could read. And I was that judge on that Fox thing where we looked into the three laptops. The guy downloaded all of them. We looked at the whole thing as long as we wanted to. And there is crime in those laptops.
Wow.
So how
can you elaborate?
Oh, it looked like what the scam was. The president, the vice president at the time, was getting financial benefit for basically betraying the interest of the United States, and his son was the conduit into that. He was a crackhead who got dishonorably charged from the military because of his drug addictions. He was getting paid $82,000 to $84,000 a month for basically providing some Chinese and Ukraine representatives with unlimited access to his dad, the vice president. And they had some proposals, some of which were dictated in those laptops, and it looked like Danny was going along with those proposals, which, in my 50 years of doing this, it wouldn't be hard to get a grand jury to return an indictment at all. Indictments.
Yes.
Also, there's this thing called FARA, Foreign Agents Registration Act, and it's absolutely glaring that Hunter Biden did not properly register as a foreign agent for a foreign entity, at least two. And there were deals were cut. And also what is most frightful is some of the emails this clown had with his crackhead self revealed the names and details of people that were these things widely released would be likely to be apprehended, put on a wall, and shot.
Oh, my.
There also, believe it or not, White House tapes are still being recorded, or at least were under the Obama administration, but they included video, not just the audio. And there are some very interesting things that come out of the White House tapes that this crackhead had on his laptop. You look at that and say, you know, there's an arguable case that tough as it is to prove this, that one crime defined in the Constitution may have been committed here. Very scary. And then they set that precedent. You can impeach somebody and go after them when they no longer hold office in which the crimes were committed. Now, Mr. Law and Order is the one that has messed up the federal criminal procedures and basically turned what happens in federal court into something dangerous where they can try people on ambush. They don't have to let anybody know what they're up to, what evidence they're going to rely on. They do it so that the prosecution is given free rein to bankrupt somebody by getting them in a situation where they have to spend more money than they could possibly come up with, even when the prosecution knows they couldn't get a conviction, just bankrupt them so they can't defend themselves, and then don't worry about whether you get a conviction or not, to suppress people, to hold them literally political prisoners. there are a lot of federal prosecutions of people who were whistleblowers that got persecuted for exposing folk. There are a whole bunch of people in penitentiaries doing 5 years, or at least put it this way, 60-month sentences, of which they would be in federal custody and control for 57 to 58 out of those months, who had three rocks. They got busted by the local black and white city police, but the feds picked it up because they wanted to see if they couldn't threaten them and coerce them into being informants. And sometimes they didn't even know anything. So you used to go into a federal maximum security penitentiary where the federal correctional officers ran the security around the perimeter, but inside, for these minor drug offenders who were in custody with major maximum security type violators, they would be in olive drab fatigues, blouse, pant legs over shined boots and maroon fezes. That would be the inmate trustee guards to protect the short, well, the 60-month minor drug offenders locked up in there. Most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in your life. But that's Joe Biden.
Yes. I just got a text that told me to ask you about Clarence Thomas.
What about him? I don't like him. But no, he hasn't done anything subject to impeachment. He never practiced law any, so he doesn't know. He hasn't been through the ropes. And he and Scalia were totally unaware, the late Scalia were totally unaware of these ethical considerations of avoiding the appearance of impropriety, even if you weren't doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, there's no oversight over the U.S. Supreme Court, so they're in there for life or good behavior. I would say I haven't seen anything that would be bribery. I haven't seen, since the individual billionaire in question didn't have any cases in front of the Supreme Court or any identified interest where he had a stake in the outcome. I didn't see treason, and I didn't see felonies or misdemeanors in office. And you'd be running up a wall, on a wall, if you were trying to impeach anybody for that. And the impeachment of Supreme Court justices is nothing new. They used to screech and holler all the time about impeach Earl Warren, the former Republican governor of California that Eisenhower appointed to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who oversaw most all of the civil rights gains until the early 1970s.
And well, just so from what I've seen, they were saying that he also did tax evasion because of those donations, you know, where they were counting up the money for the trips, that he didn't report it to the IRS. He didn't put it on his tax form.
Maybe, but you got to go deal with proving that case beyond a reasonable doubt. The bottom line is all that's going to happen is he files an amended 1040, and makes a declaration. So the point is that after this simple failure to report, was there any tax liability? You know, how much? And again, but the problem is with that, there is an inescapable appearance of impropriety with doing that, and it is, you can't run the politics your way right now, so you're running home with your ball crying to mommy, and you say, we want to try and get our way by cutting corners and prosecuting somebody rather than simply getting control of what you need so you can put the people you want on the Supreme Court. They already got Tonji Brown, Tonji Jackson, or whatever her name is. And I swear to you, he scratched her head through that wig one more damn time. I was going to throw something up. And when he got there with that white woman, asked her, what is a woman? And she couldn't answer.
Did you see this pant, this crowd of trannies? What the hell is going on here?
Oh, my.
I said, if this woman scratches her damn wig one more goddamn time, I'm throwing something in my own TV.
Oh, my. Well, we don't want you to do that.
Too old. But see, the other thing is all of this stuff they were talking about January 6th with Trump, and I'm not defending him. I'm saying this for a different reason. I'm talking about American law.
Yes.
They went and leaked that draft, which somebody's head should have rolled for that, for contempt and all kinds of other stuff. They sit there and they don't get any problem with somebody actually threatening and camped out in front of a Supreme Court justice's home. That's okay with them, but they screech and holler about other stuff that just isn't right. See,
yeah.
Let me say something about that. I'm not defending Trump. What I'm doing is I know what the law is about. And how many of you know what Miranda rights are? You know, you have a right to remain silent.
Right to remain silent.
Say.
Okay. Yes.
Now, all Americans have heard their Miranda rights now. Those are fundamental to produce, to prevent police misconduct, right?
Yes.
Right? Miranda
yes.
wasn't itself on search and seizure. The people that established the cases that set forth the rules on search and seizure, for the most part, they weren't nice guys. So let's forget it was Donald Trump. Justice is supposed to be blind, and it's got to do with American law. Get one man
yeah.
you want to corrupt a law so that it can be turned against you in 10, 15 years? Uh-uh. See, when you're a defense lawyer, your job is not to see that your client is found not guilty. Some of the clients you have, you don't necessarily like because you have women and children that you know who are out there on the streets who might come in contact with them. But what you are doing is something more important. You're seeing the due process of law prevails so the state or the feds don't get in the habit of doing things wrong and create a tyranny. Because what is it? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's your job to keep them in check so they don't get used to exercising absolute unchecked power, which leads
yeah.
to fascism, totalitarianism. So that's your job, not getting somebody loose. So when I talk about this and I mention Trump, that's so you know what's being discussed. But it ain't about Donald Trump. It's about some clowns who don't get it, who want to pervert the American rules when it comes to criminal justice or political freedom. So you can't use criminal charges to subvert the political process. Well, that's more important than any one person. And you have to deal with protecting the general law and not letting it be abused and corrupted so you can get a target. And by the way, we went through that in New York in the 19th century, where for one of the times in American history where it becomes notorious, they use criminal prosecutions to control the politics. Tammany Hall in New York City didn't like certain interests, so 3 days before the election, they'd have a warrant, bogus warrant, sworn out by one of their judges, and they'd lock the person up so they'd be in jail on election day. But then again, that's
oh.
why under American law, any judge can grant and hear a habeas corpus. So any judge you pick has no option. He has to hear it. And he can make an independent determination as to whether there is any good reason why that person's being held, any lawful reason. So you can
yeah.
stop that. See, the rights we say
yeah.
are criminal rights are really the rights of the people to be free from political oppression, social oppression.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Judge Joe, the episode has ended and it's processing now.
I mean, we can still talk, but, you know, until they cut it off. But
yeah,
it has
that
ended.
That happens on the Friday thing, too. It says, thank you for calling. At the end, it'll cut you right off. They'll cut you.
Yes. Would you like to would you like to tell everyone where else that they can find you at?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at Judge Joe Brown TV. I do finally have my blue check after years, thanks to Elon Musk. They refused to let me have one. That's at Judge Joe Brown TV. I do have a Facebook account, but I don't use it. I just have it so I can see what people are posting to me, and I have a Instagram account. I don't know what that is. I don't use it. But JJB2023.com and JJBBBQ.com. And by the way, Ms. Dolores, if you're still there, I took you around to a few barbecue places, if I recall.
Yes, sir.
Didn't I give you a container of the powder?
Yes, you did, and I have used it quite a bit since I've been home.
Judge Joe?
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
No, Antoinette, I just wanted to make one comment before you end the show, and that was to ask everyone that's listening in order to get, you know, we all talked about good things that needed to be done and how we could help, but we also need to donate Judge Brown's campaign. You know, we have to donate. If we really want to see this change, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And that is by helping and donating.
Yes, please do.
I'm glad for the money because I wanted to ask him before he leaves what's supposed to be happening in May with Biden and
Clinton. Oh, this clown signed an executive order that outlawed pistols with braces after a decade of people being able to legally buy them with letters from ATF saying they were legal. So he has quietly signed an executive order that's been published in the register. It gave people 120 days to register them with ATF as something called a Class 3 weapon that is restricted and ordinarily requires a $200 tax to be paid for registration. Now, they finally got them to waive the $200 requirement, but it's indeterminate as to whether or not you must file a separate form with a separate fingerprint card with a separate photo for each pistol that you have that you purchased legally. There's some 35 million of them in circulation and about 10 to 15 million Americans who would be looking at a 10-year federal sentence and a $10,000 fine if it sneaks up on them without them being aware. I think it will probably be declared unconstitutional, but by then, if it's not, somebody might go to a federal penitentiary. And the bad part about it is that if you go along with protecting yourself right now, you waive objection to them making an unannounced search of your home to check on the weapons or the pistols in question to see if you in fact have them and if they consider them stored properly so they can come into your house at all hours of the day and night technically without announce. And that gets a little scary. That looks awful a lot like the Zeke Heil nonsense they had back in the 30s in Germany.
Okay. Yeah. But I was talking about with the currency, Your Honor.
You go to ATF.gov.
ATF?
Okay. ATF.gov.
Okay. Did you say L or F?
A, Alpha, Tango, Foxtrot.
Okay.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
All right.
And thank you, Antoinette.
Oh, Miss Kim, thank you.
It's been my pleasure. God be granted.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis, for being with us as well. Because I know you had a busy day today.
Yes, but never too busy to tune in.
Oh, well, I thank you.
Discussion.
Yes. Well, we truly appreciate it.
Okay.
Now, Judge Stowe, when can you come back when you're not too busy? I know you're busy because you're campaigning.
Let me know.
Okay, well, I don't want to overtax you. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be a burden to you.
Well, you know, the count and I are very good friends, and I do not need much sleep. I like to stay up, especially after the midnight when the moon is full.
Well, that's not healthy to stay up all the time. You got to get your rest.
You know, we like to go out and buy things late at night.
No, you can't do that, Judge Joe. You got to rest. I'm not going to do that to you.
Well, what I was joking, as I said, the count, meaning Dracula, and I roam after midnight.
Yes.
But anyway, I don't like to go to sleep. I'll be asleep long enough when I'm dead.
Well, that's true, but to prevent you from becoming dead too soon, you got to take your rest. And we want you around. We want you around. You see these three women here? We want you around. We're depending on you.
Around.
And we're dependent on you.